about. You gotta put it in perspective.
Woo! Yeah! Somebody make some motherfucking noise in here! These people.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Hi. Oh, what is this? Is this butter?
In the shape of the great state of Iowa?
Oh.
If it melted, it would become Texas.
This is an absolutely stunning butter sculpture. Thank you. So let's tweet a picture of that.
Yeah.
And then let's find a refrigerator to put that in.
You know, butter doesn't need to be refrigerated. It can be unrefrigerated or refrigerated. So.
That's not true.
I think it's like a fruit that way.
No?
It's, okay.
Don't worry about her. She's just an attention seeker.
And now.
Ding, butter, da, ding, butter, da, ding, butter, da, ding, butter, da.
Our feature presentation.
So that happened.
Oh, holy crap.
So that happened.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
I'm fine.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean show. It's Monday, the 15th of Double December, the day after Bean tried to kill himself.
How do you guys leave the stage? I found a faster way.
We walked.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Down the stairs.
That seems kind of boring.
Yeah.
Come on. It's show business,
you
guys.
It took us more time than you. I'll give you that.
You got to give the people a show.
Well, you did that.
All right. So it's the day after the sold-out 25th annual K-Rock Almost Excuse Christmas. And we'll talk a lot about that. We've got some great interviews with bands and whatnot. It's going to be a great recap. And, of course, you can still watch Night 2. It's up at KRock.com. It's streaming right now. But there was something that happened last night. And I would just like to say that
it was awesome.
Is
that what you're saying?
I am not accident prone.
Yeah.
First of all. And I almost never get hurt.
Right.
I just want to put that out there.
Yeah, go ahead. So, say whatever you want.
So in 30 minutes, we'll walk you through the blow-by-blow of what actually happened on stage. And if you just can't wait, you can go to KRock.com. And apparently there is video of it that I've not seen yet.
Oh, sweet.
But apparently it is up, and you can actually see a grown-ass man disappearing from view on a stage.
You were there 1 second and just gone the next.
Just
it was
gone.
Like, you're David Copperfield.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a magic trick. But let me tell you about this morning. We'll talk about that, what happened just after 6. But let me tell you about this morning. So, Kevin, when I saw you after the ambulance and the paramedics last night, when I was getting a ride back to the hotel, you said, maybe don't come in tomorrow.
Well, I was saying, you know, certainly don't have to. Of course. You're injured.
You know it's going to hurt like a mother effer, right? And I, you know, I was going to evaluate that in the morning and see how I felt. I certainly wasn't going to do anything dumb. So I didn't sleep at all, not a wink.
Excellent.
Because I have apparently a bruised, you ready for this, Lisa? Coccyx.
Ooh.
You did
I've
this whole
that.
Thing just so you could say that. You did that on purpose.
I did it in a different way, but.
you want to see my coccyx? So that hurts, and you can't get comfortable at all with that. And so I woke up this morning, and I felt obviously just like death. But I thought, you know, and we've all been here, whether it's an injury or you just haven't got enough sleep, you're hungover, whatever. If I could just make it to the shower, that's all I need.
Yeah.
It's just the shower. That's the jolt to get me on the road. So I shimmied my way out of bed, and I went in, and I started running the water in the shower. And then I realized I am so lightheaded that I am going to – and then – you know what happens after that? I fainted.
You did?
This morning. Yes, this morning.
And you fell again?
I fell again, yes.
No.
Now,
did you
I
fall
was,
on your coccyx?
I never got into the shower. I just had the water running, and I don't remember how it happened because when I woke up from passing out, I was in the living room slash bedroom area of the hotel room up against the wall. And then when I got up, I felt much better, like you do after you vomit.
Yeah.
I felt much better from fainting. I don't know why. And then I turned around and looked into the bathroom, and the bathroom floor was just covered with blood.
Yes!
Covered with blood. And I'm like,
what? You're like at a crime scene.
It was like a crime. And I'm like,
did you kill
someone?
Did you murder someone?
I hope not.
This is the beginning of such a good movie.
Somebody must have taken her body out of the room because it wasn't there anymore. And then I looked down.
That's funny.
And then I looked down and I saw that my foot was like bleeding like crazy, but I have no memory of cutting myself. And I don't know.
Or crawling back.
Yes, back into the other room. And I don't know what I possibly could have cut my. How do you cut yourself in a bathroom? There's just a bathtub and a toilet. There's nothing sharp to cut yourself on.
I don't know
how I did it.
All I do know is that you are not accident prone.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
What I want to know is, was there chocolate ice cream on the walls?
No.
Strawberry, first of all.
No.
What I want to know is, why are you here?
Because I felt better, but I also realized, hey, I just fainted and that might happen again, so I can't drive. So I texted Dave and he brought me in this morning and I stopped at 7-Eleven and got some bananas and stuff to get some sugar in me, you know? So I feel okay. I mean, my back just hurts so bad, and obviously I haven't had any medicine of any kind, you know, because I just didn't. But
because I just didn't.
It was, well, I didn't. I mean, they don't give it to you in the ambulance, right. And I didn't go to the hospital. So, but it was it was not the perfect ending to an otherwise great night. It was not ideal.
Well, I mean, if you end up being okay, it's awesome.
It's the greatest thing ever.
You know what I mean? Like, as long as this is just a short-term thing and you heal and you're fine, then it's awesome.
I just can't wait to go through the play-by-play because there were a lot of factors involved with what happened on stage. It sounded like such a simple plan for you and I to go out there and bring on No Doubt. And then just one thing after another, it just snowballed into a nightmare.
Yeah.
I mean...
more for you than anyone, but yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean...
all right.
Yeah. So...
so that happened.
So that did happen, in fact. But we survived, and we're here, and we've got, I think we got a pretty good show planned, and...
the morning's young. Mug.
We got that, obviously.
Sure.
That goes without saying,
something
I think.
For the kids to look forward to.
Yeah.
This was his fault, right?
Absolutely. There's no chance it wasn't his fault.
Yeah. Even there. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin DeBean show, shall we? Passed out again. What a bummer. We have Randall Park on the program today. He plays Kim Jong-un in the interview.
All right.
So the North Koreans hate him.
Yes, they do.
That's not good.
I mean, I literally wonder if there's some sort of fatwa out on him. That's got to be disrespectful to play a man they consider chosen by God to lead in their country.
But they're not Muslim, are they? So
No, but they're crazy.
Oh, they are crazy. Yeah, there's no question about that. So we're going to talk to him. We also have Andrew Siciliano talking about the NFL over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Good to see Andrew at Acoustic.
Yeah.
Marilyn Manson will be here.
Fantastic.
Very excited about that. We interviewed Billy Corgan in his dressing room last night. We've got some big news with him. We also interviewed the entire band of System of a Down, and we've got some great news about them.
Awesome.
So we got that coming up as well. Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. They're banning every type of porn possible in the UK, and that's not cool. And in about a half hour, Bean tries to kill himself. I mean, the story of Bean trying to kill himself last night. Yeah, so that's coming up. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:52.
Big, big Smashing Pumpkins news at 7. Big, big System of a Down news at 8. Marilyn Manson at 9. It's a heck of a show this morning here on the Kevin and Bean program for the 15th yep. of December. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey, boys and girls.
Morning, dude.
Good morning, and let's make it a better morning if I can by giving you a little something before we get to the Showbiz Beat. How about a pair of passes to the K-Rock screening of The Interview?
Yay!
Come to The Interview. This Thursday, the AMC Century City will be doing a special screening of The Interview. See it! See it before the North Koreans bomb us for making it. The Interview in December is in theaters everywhere December the 25th, Christmas Day. But if you're one of the lucky callers right now at 1-800-520-1067, you will get a pair of passes to see it before everyone else. So call now. See The Interview. Of course, this movie making a lot of news. It's coming out of Sony. It stars James Franco and Seth Rogen. Is it the reason why Sony got hacked? That's the question everyone's asking. Well, the hackers over there have said the best is yet to come.
Oh.
And by that, I mean the worst, I suppose. They have promised Sony Pictures a Christmas gift that will put Sony Pictures into the worst state, say the hackers. This comes from The Hollywood Reporter. The FBI is reportedly investigating the incident, but this all may come too late for Sony because a lot of damage has been done. Emails from co-chairperson Amy Pascal all the way down to some of its producers and scripts have been stolen. It's a mess over there, and if these hackers come through with their threats,
hey,
it's going to
be
even worse on Christmas
the
Day.
Bond script was stolen. Is that part of the Sony thing, or is that separate?
Yeah, Spectre. The script of Spectre has been stolen. However, it is apparently just a draft. It's not the final shooting script because it apparently is still being rewritten. So
I don't think any of us would want our work emails released to the public.
Oh, no.
I know we wouldn't.
No, we would not want that. Although I have learned not to write what I used to write.
Yes, yeah. We have.
The hard way.
The hard way.
Yeah.
Speaking of movies, let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. We do it every Monday morning. Exodus, Gods and Kings, number one at the box office, bumping Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 1 finally out of the number one slot. $24.5 million made at number one. Right behind that was the Hunger Games film with $13.2 million. Then Penguins of Madagascar, top five in its debut, did $7.2 million. Big Hero 6 was number five. Interstellar, sixth. Then Horrible Bosses 2, Dumb and Dumber 2, The Theory of Everything, and Wild were your top 10 movies at the box office. This weekend, it's Ariana Grande. She's adorable. I want to just carry her around everywhere. Bean should have someone carrying him around
yes,
in
the
concerts.
Should.
He'd be a lot safer.
Yes, he should.
You know, she's been having a very public feud with Bette Midler. Bette Midler basically told her to stop whoring around. And Ariana Grande shot back, and it was all supposed to be settled. This weekend.
Is it still on?
At the Billboard Women in Music event where Bette Midler was supposed to present Ariana with an award.
Oh.
But Bette Midler called in sick at the very last minute.
How about that?
Oh.
What are the chances?
So it looks like they're not going to patch things up after all, which makes me sad because I've been waiting for that Bette Midler Ariana Grande duet.
Yes, you have.
I don't know if I'm more surprised that Bette knows who Ariana is or the other way around.
That's a good point.
Yeah, their universes both should not intersect in any way.
Bill Cosby.
Guilty.
Well, more than likely, but we're not sure. He spoke for the first time about the multiple sexual assault allegations that have surfaced against him. In an interview with the New York Post, he didn't specifically address the abuse claims, but did speak in general terms, deflecting basically by saying, I thought this was an odd statement, I only expect the black media to uphold the standards of excellence in journalism. And when you do that, you have to go in with a neutral mind.
So he thinks the white media is condemning him with no facts.
Right.
And that the black media is giving him the benefit of the doubt.
Well, no. He's expecting the black media to go in with a neutral mind, to have no opinion one way or the other regarding the charges. The white media, apparently, he thinks it is a foregone conclusion that they are attacking him and condemning him without any sort of proof. But he's playing the race card.
Yeah.
Which I think is...
Here we go! It's on! Race war! Race war's on, everybody! It's going down! It's going down! Race war. Come on. Race war.
Which I think is the ultimate case of smoke and mirrors. It's like, pay no attention to those rape victims.
Yeah.
Race! I'm black! I forgot. Did I mention I'm black?
He certainly doesn't have a type, by the way.
Have
you seen
woman.
The women?
A woman.
Yeah, but have you seen the 30 women? I mean, it's everything from black supermodels to white, ordinary-looking women. You know? It just seems like...
Yeah.
He'll rape anyone, allegedly.
Well, it's not about attraction.
Right.
And it's not about sexuality. And that's what you have to remember. These women are victims of violence. And there's no type for that. They just have to be available victims.
Right.
And that's who he preyed on. He also praised in the interview, this made me a little sick to my stomach, his wife of 50 years, Camille, saying that she's been handling the accusations with the love and strength of womanhood. And you could reverse it, the strength of womanhood and love. Then he quickly ended the media by saying his lawyers don't want him talking to the media. So,
And Camille drinks the coffee every night.
Just have to make everything worse.
Well,
don't
I mean that's his thing, right?
And a lot of people were wondering why Angelina Jolie did not show up for the premiere of Unbroken, her new film that she directed about Beer Mug's buddy. Remember the World War II vet?
That's right.
Oh,
yeah,
that was him.
It was the prisoner of war for all those times, and the Olympic athlete. He is a legend. He has since passed away. And Biermann got a chance to interview him on the red carpet of the Captain America film.
Check, 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 check. One. Check.
Yeah, this is
check.
Not that at all, is it?
I was hoping that we would have the interview.
Yeah, I was hoping that too. Remember when Beer Mug said pointed to that and then put his thumb up?
Yeah,
I was assuming he would have some piece of audio that was germane to the story.
Yeah.
Here it is.
Mr. Louis Zamperini, a veteran of World War II. How you doing, sir?
Well, I'm doing great for my age.
Yeah, you look fantastic. I was surprised to hear that an actual World War II vet was at the Captain America world premiere. And let me ask you, besides, you know, getting a victorious win over the Axis powers.
Wow, that's better than I remember.
How was it like fighting with Captain America himself?
What was the question about?
Yeah. Did you meet Steve Rogers himself?
I don't
Captain America?
No, I don't think so, no.
That's all right. So, Mr. Zamperini.
Oh, my God.
Tell me what it was like being imprisoned during World War II.
To get 3 rice balls a day, and that's it. And they're subject to beatings almost on a daily basis.
That is amazing, sir. Well, I really...
The guy is 95, and you're trying to do some sort of meta bit with him about actually serving during World War II with the real Captain America.
If it, out of all my interviews, that's the one interview I feel like a dick for.
Well, you should feel like a dick for a lot more than that.
For all of them, actually.
But
Angela did direct the Unbroken, the story of Louis Zamperini, and the premiere, she was missing. Everyone said maybe it's because of that Sony stuff because, you know, she was sort of publicly mocked via those emails about being a spoiled brat and not that talented. Turns out she had a much more legitimate reason not for showing up. She got the chicken pox.
What's happening with all of this? Mumps coming back? Chicken pox coming back?
I guess when you have 47 children, the chance of picking up chicken pox is pretty strong. But that's why she wasn't there. She said you have to laugh at the timing, but she was not there. She was home itching and missing everyone, she revealed in a new video regarding the cast and crew who did show up to the premiere. So now we know why she didn't show up. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Adam Brody, he's 35 years old today. Stuart Townsend, talented actor.
That's a name we haven't heard in a while.
Yeah, he's 42 years old. And actor Don Johnson. We had to get some heartbeat for later on the show. Yeah, I think we do. A little heartbeat. Don Johnson of Miami Vice fame. Of course, also had a an amazing singing career.
Nope.
When he was dating Barbara Streisand, and we'll play a smash hit "Heartbeat" in the next hour.
Nope.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Oh, you all right?
I'm okay. I'm all right. I'm right here.
106.7 K Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin DeBean Show at 6:08.
I haven't been to KROQ.com yet to look at the video. Have
it's
you guys?
Awesome.
Do I just disappear?
No, you fall.
Yeah,
I mean,
you see that.
You could really see it.
So, Lisa, you weren't there. You were gone.
I was in my car.
All right. Muggs, you weren't there.
I was not.
Dave, you were there.
I was there. Yeah.
Here's what happened. Last night was the second night of the Acoustic Christmas Show, and the idea was, and I don't know who hatched this, but because it was special, 25 years, the idea was that all of the DJs at K-Rock would come out on stage together.
Right.
And everybody that could make it, that we could get. There were a few that were missing. You know, Sluggo wasn't there and some others. But we're going to come out on stage. Jimmy Kimmel joined us. Of course, he was on the Kevin and Bean Show for 5 years. He came out, and the plan was that he was going to introduce us, Kevin and Bean. And then our plan was we were going to introduce everybody else on stage and then give the mic to Rodney to bring No Doubt on stage.
Sounds like a solid plan to me.
Sounds like a pretty good plan. So we're backstage, and we're all getting ready to go on. And by the way, we talked to we got a great photo. We got a post of us with No Doubt right before they went on stage. It was so fun to see them. So Kevin and I are talking. That's the plan. And Kevin, you says to me, What happens if I don't know somebody's name? What happens if I blank if that's the plan?
Yeah, you thought I was kidding, right?
I totally thought you were kidding.
Nope.
Because Kevin knows all the people that worked at K-Rock, right?
Right.
Okay. So we go out on stage. And Kevin, you had a little different vantage point than I did. What's your memory of what happened while we were out on stage? It started off okay. Jimmy was at the front of the stage and he threw it to us.
Right.
Then what happened?
And then we started going down the line and introducing everybody.
I'm like, hey, from Loveline, there's Dr. Drew and Mike Catherwood. And you're like, hey, there's Kat Corbett. And I'm like, hey, there's Nicole Alvarez. And you're like, hey, there's Jet the Fish.
And now I'm counting and I'm like, I don't know Ruben's name. This is going to be bad.
So we're standing on stage and obviously the audience just wants No Doubt to come on.
Right.
Right. And I realize, I turn around and look back, and I realize that Kevin has no idea who Ruben is, who's one of the overnight people that works here in Carrick. He's worked there a long time.
I know. I feel terrible, but I just didn't.
So I turn around and I look to see why you're not talking. And I see it's Ruben. So yeah. I say, Kevin, you know who that is? That's Ruben. He's worked for us for 10 years. And at that moment, I'm facing the line of DJs behind us. So my back is to the audience.
Right.
And Dr. Drew says to me, because he's right in front of me, hey, the audience is out there. So I turn to face the audience, and that's when I stepped to my left, and that's when I fell off the stage and fell 5 feet and landed in a hole, basically beneath the stage. And I'm laying there, and there's a lot that's going on that I'll go through, but one thing I noticed that isn't happening is Rodney isn't saying, ladies and gentlemen, right. put your hands together right. for No Doubt. So what happened there?
Well, I think he was freaked out by you falling. So then I looked at Rodney, and he wasn't saying anything, so I said, Rodney, introduce the band. And he's frozen. He started going, okay, No Doubt. And at that point, Jed grabs the other microphone and goes out and just introduces the band.
Okay. And they still don't come out
right.
because the guy who's supposed to give them the signal to come out on stage jumps into the hole to come down and see how I'm doing.
Right.
So there's nothing happening on stage.
Right.
And I assume the audience is just sitting there just waiting to see what's going to happen next, right? And I'm extremely conscious of this. And all I want is for No Doubt to come on stage so that the show goes on.
Right.
And that nobody's paying attention to whatever I'm doing. And that we can just get out of there without that being the
you
thing.
You fell off the stage.
Dude, I know.
I mean, that was unbelievable.
Time out, my friend. That's a timeout.
Right. But...
So the production guys that are supposed to keep the show going went down to help you.
Yes.
And then when I walked off the stage, Gwen said, what's going on? And now I thought, well,
yeah.
I don't want to tell her that Bean might be dead, so.
Because she's got a show to
right.
do.
Right. She's got to go out and play. So I was like, oh, nothing. It's great. Go on out.
I didn't know that. So you're the one who said No Doubt on stage.
I didn't know what to say.
She said, I don't want to go out.
Did she say that?
Yeah, and then her boss, Mr. Weatherby, goes on and goes, hey, go out there and kill it. Well, he was going on.
He was already over losing his morning show.
Oh, he was fine with that.
Right, so everybody's been involved in a situation in their life like I had last night, maybe not exactly like that, where something happens. Maybe it's a car accident, or maybe it's just a fall, or it's somebody throwing something, and it's happening in slow motion. And you're aware of what's happening. And it's also very scary. Yeah. And that's what this was like. I mean, I'm conscious of falling the 5 feet to the ground. I'm conscious of hitting my tailbone on whatever it was on the floor. And it all – the first thing you think is, please tell me I can feel my toes. That's the very – look, we've all watched enough football to know how terrifying it is when somebody hits the ground. Because you hit the ground wrong – hey, the great Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Curtis Mayfield fell off a stage and was paralyzed for life. I mean, you can fall and hit it wrong. And that was the first thing that went through my mind is, oh, my God, please don't let me be paralyzed.
I thought if you had turned around in your face, you could see what was coming. It would have been a whole different thing. But
totally.
You fell backwards.
I fell absolutely on my back, yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I was, you know, it was happening in slow motion, but a lot of things were happening at once, too. And all of a sudden, there's a bunch of people around me, and they're doing exactly what they do in football, which is don't move.
Right.
And they're holding you tight, and they're putting you on a board so that they can take you out to the paramedics. And
I would like to say thank you to all the listeners, though, that felt that it was their duty to film this and take photos of this.
Yes.
That was awesome.
It is well documented. It is well documented.
There's a video up at kevinandbean.com. You really have to watch
it. I'm going to watch it after this. I haven't seen it yet.
I saw it this morning, and I've watched it three times.
Yeah.
Watched it twice.
And now that you're okay, it's awesome.
Yeah. And it just hurts so bad hitting your tailbone like that. It just hurts so bad. And I also tore up this arm right here and everything. But the paramedics, man, I mean, that's what they do. They're so great. And I'm so grateful that they were there. And, you know, they got me into the ambulance and did all the vitals and everything like that. And slowly they kind of felt me up, by the way, like all over. Like they wanted to touch every part of my body to make sure it was all being responsive.
Yeah.
And believe me, I knew within a minute of laying down there, I didn't know how badly I was hurt, but I knew how incredibly lucky I was.
Yeah.
How incredibly lucky I was, because it just doesn't take much sometimes.
You hit your head the wrong way.
Yeah. And thank God I didn't hit my head.
Yeah.
Too.
It's a Kevin and Beer Mug show, you know?
And a lot of people would say that that's an improvement. Half the people that were on the stage with us didn't even see me fall, by the way, because they were looking someplace else, looking out at the crowd or looking for the band or, you know.
They wouldn't even know what happened.
Or I was in the dark. And I guess I just vanished for some people.
You did. You just were gone.
I just fell apart. Dave, what was it like for you?
Well, I was at the side of the stage in the back, and I heard the sound, and I didn't know who fell. Because at that point, Drew had already jumped in. So I'm like, oh, man, who is it? Is it Drew or Mike, or I didn't even think it was you. And then sure enough, it was you.
Yeah. And then you were like, course. Oh, why am I surprised?
Of course.
It's so... Because he's accident prone.
Yeah. I'm not accident prone, first of all. I never get hurt.
Right. Man in the world.
I have to tell you, if you're going to fall like that, having Dr. Drew standing next to you is pretty cool.
And our friend Dr. Mo.
And Dr. Mo was there too. Yeah. So I was definitely well taken care of.
I have audio. I don't know what this is. I think this is us on stage trying to get it to Rodney, trying to bring on the band. Let's hear it.
Rodney, what's next, my friend?
Like all right, here we go. What a place.
Here. Oh. Hear the crowd's like, whoa!
Who fell off the stage?
Oh, Jeb, really?
How are you going to come at me like that?
I didn't know that at the time.
I didn't hear that.
That's the best thing ever.
So you can hear I'm throwing it to Rodney because no one's saying anything.
Right. And he still doesn't say anything. Jed finally just takes over and introduces the band.
Anyway.
You know, we have important rock and roll to conduct tonight.
This is where it all happens.
Well, please. Will you?
So you can hear Rodney's trying.
Now that Jed's talking, Rodney's talking.
Welcome, No Doubt!
No Doubt!
Thank you, Rodney. Thank you for that echo, Rodney.
Oh, my God.
Well, go to krock.com and see the video. You'll enjoy it.
You'll enjoy it many times.
First new music from the band Modest Mouse in 5 years. We'll world premiere that for you at 7 o'clock this morning and play back an interview we did last night from Billy Corgan of Smashing Pumpkins. First, though, Monday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. That means we catch up with our friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. Hey, Harvey, how you doing, buddy?
Well, I'm doing good. Bean, how are you? I just looked at this video.
How funny is the video now that we know he's okay?
Oh, the first thing I thought of was a Jane Fonda movie.
What? Jane Fonda movie.
Yep.
Which one?
Which one?
Old one.
Okay.
All right. Did somebody get hurt in that movie, Harvey?
Yeah, I remember they shoot horses, don't they?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Did Jed laugh?
Who fell off the stage?
Harvey, it was a bad deal, dude. I think I'm going to be okay. I just have a bruised tailbone, but it was pretty terrifying, man.
No, it looked. You didn't get up, did you?
No. The paramedics made me stay flat, and they took me to the ambulance, and they checked everything out. Because, of course, their first concern is, hey, what if you're paralyzed? You know, so they don't want you to move. That first couple of minutes are super crucial. So
I'm shocked you're in today. You're a trooper.
No, he's an idiot.
I know. Everybody's yelling at me for being
here. That was a good guess.
Hey, you're not going to put the video up, though, are you, Harvey?
It's too gnarly. I mean, if you would have gotten up, maybe. But geez, it's like, oof. I'm serious. I was looking to see if you'd get up, and I thought, what are you?
No, there was now. There is a celebrity angle because Dr. Drew jumped into the pit. He was standing right next to me when it happened. So there's your angle right there. Is Dr. Drew saves a man's life?
Is it possible?
What did he do for you?
Is it possible that he pushed you?
I think it's very likely.
Maybe Drew tried to kill you.
No, you know what? He was just there checking vitals and telling me not to move and just kind of making sure I was conscious. I don't know if he's the one or if somebody else is the guy who asked me they always ask you who the president is for some reason.
Well,
I said Richard Nixon.
That.
I said Richard Nixon just to be funny.
They ask you who the president is.
They ask you, what is your name? They ask, do you know where you are? And do you know what the date is? They always ask you all those questions, or at least on TV they do.
Did that make you mad?
They did last night. No.
Okay.
No, believe me, I was just...
I don't want to make light of this. If you know, but an awesome. If Alex Trebek were on stage, and then he would have asked you he would have given you the answer, and you had to do the question.
That would have been awesome. I'm with you on that.
Why don't the paramedics think of that, Harvey? Well, if you want to go with the Dr. Drew saves a life angle, I think there's something in it for you on your side, and I think it's a funny video for people. And once they know I'm okay, I think it's funny.
I was laughing at first, and then okay, he's not getting up.
Yeah, it could have been bad, dude.
Can I tell you a quick story that we forgot to mention, I think, is that Jimmy Kimmel was there.
Uh-huh.
And when Bean got out of the ambulance, he said, I'm not going to the hospital, so just, I want to get a ride back to the hotel. So Jimmy said, I'm going to go get my car. I'm going to come pick you up, and I'll take you to your hotel. And I don't know, 5 minutes went by, 6 minutes, 8 minutes, 10 minutes. Finally, we called Jim, and he's like, I can't find my car.
He's walking around the parking lot outside the Forum Club. He can't remember where he parked his car, and he's my ride to the hotel.
Yeah, that was awesome.
So then I got to start over from scratch to get somebody else to take me. Because at this point, I'm so tired, and the adrenaline is starting to wear off because I know I'm okay, and all I want to do is lay down. You know what I mean? and then Jimmy loses his car. That was awesome.
How'd you get back?
It was a night. I took a shuttle. They had a shuttle going back and forth from the forum to the hotel. But Harvey, it was crazy, dude. It was so scary. And
I'm glad you're okay.
They make fun of me all the time for hurting myself. But this, I mean, I don't look at this and go, I'm an idiot. I look at this and go, I'm so lucky.
You are.
Yeah. I'm so lucky, you know.
And the only thing I would say is Beyonce handles it much better than you.
Well,
she keeps singing and she gets up.
I know. Hey, she's flawless, man. What are you going to do? She woke up like that. I mean, I can't touch any of that. She's surfboard. She's all of that. I'm none of that. All right. Well, listen, we've eaten up all your time, but go to TMZ.com and watch all the TV shows today because they've got to developing news on the terrible, terrible, sad story of Scott Stapp from Creed, who's just apparently getting further and further out. And just let me ask you one question about that, then you can go to your meeting. At what point do medical officials step in and take him away against his will if he's saying this much crazy stuff?
His wife has actually filed papers to get him involuntarily committed for 60 days. And that's pending right now, but it's really, really bad.
No, yeah, he needs to be. I mean, you agree with that. He needs to be taken in, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not a doctor, but when you listen to these 911 recordings, it's desperate.
It's sad, yeah. TMZ airs on Fox throughout the day, TMZ Live at 4, and TMZ Hollywood Sports Monday through Friday at 5 on the Reels channel. Harvey, I appreciate your concern and your interest, my friend. Happy holidays. Thanks for calling in.
Same to you. I'm glad you're okay, B.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
The drummer for that band, The Killers, by the way, The bass player for that band, The Killers, was playing bass for Billy Corgan last night in Smashing Pumpkins.
Yeah.
And we got an interview with Billy coming up on this morning's program in about 20 minutes or so from right now. And as we mentioned, a new Modest Mouse song.
What's happening in the UK with banning everything having to do with porn?
There are a lot of times where I appreciate the rights that we have, the First Amendment rights that we have, that we are guaranteed as citizens of the United States. And when a story like this comes around, this is one of it. Because, I mean, there are some things that are illegal in porn in the U.S., and there should be. Bestiality, you know, incest, child porn, poop, all of that's illegal, and I'm fine with all of that. Britain, though, I mean, this half of my weekend is out if I can't do any of this stuff in Britain.
they're outlawing... They say aggressive whipping.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what aggressive means.
Right.
Even spanking.
Yes.
Completely? Really?
Yes.
Role playing as non-adults. Physical restraint. Can't hold somebody down in a porn. And by the way, this is for all porn that is made, sold, or shown in the UK. And this is DVD. This is streaming online. This is video on demand. This is all of it. Humiliation is not allowed in porn anymore. So what does that do for dominatrix porn? That's what it's all based on, right?
That's out.
It's all based on. And a bunch of other stuff that we can't say, but it's hilarious if you get a chance to see the video of some of these protests that are going on with men and women and couples of all kinds who are just doing all sorts of stuff out in front of Parliament and saying, hey, don't take away what, you know, we're consenting adults and this should not be illegal. I mean, this is a surprise in the 21st century to see new laws come down on stuff that has been legal for decades.
I thought they were more relaxed than we were in some ways, like their Page 2 girl.
Page 3, right, yeah.
Page 3, whatever page.
Whatever page she's on.
Well, I don't know. I don't know where – maybe this is coming from the Queen. Maybe she's like 90 and she's like, no, not in my country.
No spanking.
Anyway, we asked producer Dave if he could hook us up with somebody, and I believe we have – is this Mr. Richard Anderson is on the line? Is that the name?
Yes, it is. How are you?
Well, we're fine, sir. Who are you with? Who are you representing today, sir?
I am a spokesman for the Department of Culture, Media, and Sport.
Oh, so you're representing the government's side here.
DCMS, if you will. Say what?
All right. Well, please help us understand why the new rules in 2014 would take away the rights of your citizens that they've had for decades.
We're not taking away rights of anyone to perform any sexual act they want to in the privacy of their own home. We're simply creating a ban of erotic acts performed in profitable pornography that we deem possibly harmful to the populace. And it is part of our job, of course, to protect the populace.
So it's okay to do it, you just can't film it and sell it.
That's correct. You cannot create pornography involving these acts originating from the UK and consumption for the UK.
All right, what about the protest on Friday that we saw on the news with 500 people simulating sex in front of Parliament?
That was poppycock.
Wait, poppycock is still allowed?
Is that good or bad?
It was ridiculous.
Ridiculous, okay.
It was a bunch of people attempting to get attention for themselves and ignoring the safety and potential harm that may come to others. Now, if they want to go do that sort of silliness in their own home, that's fine. But let's not lose sight of the government's role in protecting the populace.
Who are the people who came up with these new guidelines?
There were a group of ministers that we had in the Commons. We came up with a list of things we thought would be potentially dangerous to the populace.
Let me ask you about one in particular, and that is a spanking between two adults that are both consenting.
Until things go wrong.
What?
And then, until things go wrong. Until they go horribly wrong, and then next thing you know, you need a buttocks transplant. Buttocks have literally been beaten off your body.
That's not a thing. That does, Mr. Anderson, that
never
is never...
Heard of that.
You tell my uncle with no ass. Tell him it's not such a thing, then.
What other... We read a partial list. What other things are now banned in the UK in porn?
You no longer can film and or sell any pornography that contains the following.
Okay.
The Scroonicorn. Not allowed to use the Scroonicorn.
You can't do
anymore.
The Scroonicorn?
Shop vac is no longer allowed.
Wow.
Snurd nurgling.
What? I'm sorry?
You can do that. Snurd nurgling.
Not familiar with that one.
You don't want to know.
I am not limber enough for snurd nurgling anyway, so that one doesn't affect me.
The Juanita special bean dip. You will not want that any longer. The Kenny Bunkport surprise is no longer welcome.
Wow.
The menthol, the melon dive, the Monroe transfer, the mushy biscuit, the Nixon.
I don't think any of us want to see the mushy biscuit.
The Pasadena mudslide.
Right.
The gobstopper, the Hindenburg, the hot coral candy cane, the flaming Amazon, the flying camel, the flying Dutchman.
Right.
The Davy Crockett.
That's quite a list.
The Bullwinkle, the Christmas turkey carver, the chocolate pizza milkshake, the angry dragon, the bear claw, the Brazilian flapjack. Swimmer's ear, tuna melt, the walrus, and the West Side glaze are no longer illegal.
That is quite a list.
However, we still will allow the Puerto Rican fog bank.
Thank God. Happy about
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 6:54. Brand new Modest Mouse song coming up right after the top of the hour. Don't miss System of a Down at 8 o'clock this morning and Marilyn Manson at 9. What a show, by the way.
Yeah.
You think we'd be phoning it in today after doing two nights of Acoustic Christmas, but boom, here we are, delivering. Well,
you tried to end it all last night. So.
Ralph is here, too. Time for our second look at the showbiz beat here on a Monday morning. Hey, Ralph.
I told you Batman as Moses was a good idea, but no. Nobody listened to me. Actually, they did listen
they
to
did,
me.
Yeah.
And they made Exodus Gods and Kings, and that was the number one movie at the box office this weekend. $24.5 million made it number one.
But isn't this the kind of epic that in another time would have made $50 million? Doesn't that seem a little soft to you, Ralph?
No.
Okay.
No, I think this time of year, $25 million is more than admirable. The it's not over the holiday weekends or anything like that. We'll see. We'll see if it has legs or not, but I think it's going to do very well for itself. Hunger Games: Mockingjay was number two at the box office. Penguins of Madagascar, top five. The new Chris Rock movie came in at number four with $7.2 million. Big Hero 6. Then Interstellar, Horrible Bosses 2, Dumb and Dumber 2, The Theory of Everything, and Wild. They were top 10 movies at the box office. Well, it's just the thing to do in Hollywood all of a sudden this week is just pop babies out left and right. Just litters of celebrity kids all over the floors of hospitals this weekend.
Courtney, just popping them out?
Just popping them out. Just litters of them. Kourtney Kardashian gave birth to a baby boy yesterday. Thank God they're having more kids.
Oh, that poor little bastard.
This is their third between Kourtney and... spectacular husband/father, Scott Disick.
Babies come out of the butt, right?
Not in this case, no. I believe it was the usual place. Hmm. Hayden Panettiere and Vladimir Klitschko, they welcomed a baby girl into the world this week. Her name is Kaya. She is 20 inches long, 7 pounds, 14 ounces, and she, being Klitschko's kid, has kicked the ass of every other kid in that nursery, which is awesome. Josh Charles from The Good Wife and his wife,
wow,
Sophie Fleck, they had their first child, a son. This week, Zoe Saldana, she popped out twins.
Was there a memo that
twin
we missed?
Twin boys. I'm telling you, it was just nuts.
How do they organize this?
I don't know. I think they're all trying to one-up each other. Zoe Saldana wins because she had two.
Hey, I don't know if I'm doing the math right because I may have a concussion, but isn't this like 9 months from Valentine's Day yesterday?
I guess it would be.
Huh.
Valentine's babies.
Interesting.
Andy Dick, he's got some issues, according to Star Magazine.
Please tell me he's not one of the people
Andy
having a kid.
No.
Okay.
Word is his new living arrangement leaves something to be desired. He's living in a 700-square-foot apartment that's covered in garbage, according to friends.
Oh, that's sad.
The upside is he leaves the door open and lets anyone who needs a place to stay crash there. Downside is he has neighbors, and they're not too pleased about the jetsam and flotsam of humanity just stopping by and crashing on Andy's couch.
Wow. He's probably just getting by on the news radio residuals. That's probably his life right now.
I don't know. I don't know how he's making his money these days, but it can't be good.
Poor dude. We like him so much.
Yeah. He's a great guy.
And he's one of those guys that sometimes he comes in and he seems like he's beat it. He seems like he's on the path and it's all good.
Steve Hirsch of Vivid Entertainment is not our friend.
He's not our friend.
No, he is not. You might think he's your friend because Vivid Entertainment has probably given you plenty of viewing material over the years that you've used in all sorts of interesting ways. Right. However, he's no longer our friend.
Why? What happened?
He just made a $1 million offer to Mama June from Here Comes Honey Boo Boo.
No!
To make an adult film for the company's Big Beautiful Woman website. First of all, she's only one of those two.
Yeah.
She's got the big down.
Yeah. Not
and
so beautiful.
I am the minority in this show. I actually believe there is such a thing as big, beautiful women. However, in order to be a big, beautiful woman, you have to be, one, big, but most importantly, two, beautiful.
Yeah.
And Mama June is not that.
No.
Second part.
Who's her partner?
Steve Hirsch has offered Mama June and her former love, Sugar Bear, to perform together for a
all right.
video.
That comes out. Who's watching? Bean?
No.
Just checking it for like 5 seconds,
no.
Lisa?
No.
Ralph?
No, I'm doing a bean off a balcony, if that's the case. that's all the kids are calling it these days.
The bean off the balcony?
Do the bean. Yeah, I'm not watching that by any stretch.
Kevin? You know, 5 seconds.
Got to check it out, right?
New. I don't want to see the forklift foot up in the air, all right? I want it left in its boot where it belongs.
Don't you care about your eyes, dude?
More importantly, don't you care about your penis? It might never work again.
I'm just saying.
Know. You're willing to take that risk?
You guys aren't the least... No, never mind.
No!
All right. No, the reason you have porn is so you don't have to watch ugly people having sex.
Porn is supposed to be for arousal and enjoyment.
Mm.
Which of those two are you getting from that one?
Well, neither.
Do you use porn
but
for comedy?
No, well, no, but in this case... Just with celebrities, I mean, just
no.
Sort of interested?
No.
What if they do the Puerto Rican fog bank?
No, I'm in. Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Adam Brody, remember him from the OC?
Love him.
He's awesome. He is in Kevin Smith's upcoming film, Yoga Hosers.
Mm-hmm.
He's wildly entertaining. 35 years old today. Actor Stuart Townsend is 42 years old today. And legendary, iconic actor Don Mother Effin Johnson is 65 years old today.
No
nothing?
Nothing.
Well, it's only been an hour, Max. Yeah,
why should I even talk anymore?
It takes a super long time to find a song.
This is the last week.
You know,
right? Last show?
These days, Ralph, you can't find music on the internet.
No.
So Muggs has to drive someplace and buy a copy, apparently.
What's the point? I'm just going to take the bean right off. Right. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
He didn't fall off. He just walked right off that stage.
No, very professional.
Mm-hmm.
Isaac Brock, who we talked to last night at the forum from the band Modest Mouse, gave us the good news that we were going to be world premiering his brand new song this morning. And there it is, called Lampshades on Fire. New record coming out, I think, in March, is what he said. We just talked to so many people last night. It's a blur.
Yeah.
System of
a
Down.
It's a blur because you fell off the stage and hit your head. That's why it's a blur.
Yes. Please, if you do nothing else, go to krock.com and see the video of me falling off the stage from last night.
A lot of people are like,
very enjoyable.
I feel bad for laughing. But then if you know he's okay.
Right.
Laugh.
Then please enjoy.
Yeah.
Our interview with the band System of a Down, including some very exciting news with them in 1 hour. We also ran into someone else last night that I think you'll enjoy hearing from, and it's Billy Corgan.
Hey, here we are, night number two of the 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. How cool is it to see an old friend, Billy Corgan?
Did you have to use the word old?
How great is it to see a true friend?
He's old. True there.
How you been, man?
I'm good. Just we've been in Berlin, Paris, New York, London, all over the place.
Do you get sick when you travel like that?
No, you know, I used to, and I had to get super healthy. So now I have all these health regimens, and we don't shake hands anymore; just do fist bumps.
Is that a big part of it?
Actually, believe it or not, because you meet so many people, you don't realize sometimes. And I think the average human touches their face 1,000 times a day.
Well, this is a great time to catch up with you, Billy, because for the last few years, you have kind of been in both modes, looking backwards and looking forwards. You've been doing all the restoration on the old records and going back through the vaults, and I'm sure that's been a blast for you. At the same time, you've been making new Pumpkins music. What conclusions have you come to about yourself and your career?
You know, I'm not mentally stable, but I do think that when it comes to alternative music, being different and charting your own path, I think at the end of the day pays off. It doesn't always pay off year to year, as we can note when I wasn't on the radio. But no, I'm grateful that I've kind of stuck to what I believe in, which is I just want to make my own kind of music, and where it's worked, fans have been great.
I always wondered about that with a guy like you who has so many different interests and different kinds of music, wants to go in different directions, and oftentimes will put out records that people don't expect from you. Is it frustrating for you that the audience doesn't seem to be as open-minded to some of that stuff as you might hope?
It used to be. I used to get really upset. But now I kind of look at it like, because Pumpkins have been around so long, people have a certain expectation. Whether or not I agree with it is kind of beside the point. And so I at least try to kind of meet the expectation halfway. I don't think Pumpkins is in the business to be irritating anymore. I think it's time to just celebrate the band's musical legacy and accomplishment. And hopefully, like the new album that just came out, it does that, and everybody seems to feel that. And it feels good because there's a point where being a contrarian gets old, too.
Do you pay attention to the reviews?
You know, I only do if I feel they're sort of off kilter. In essence, I want to understand why they're off kilter. I thought going in, there's the buzz on the band right now in Europe is like it hasn't been in 20 years. It's much stronger than it is in America. I think America's coming. It's just a little bit slower. And some of the reviews were kind of in the middle of the road, and I don't really read them, but you try to get a gist. And I think the sense of it is that people will say in the review, this is one of the best records he ever made, and I think it's more a statement of where people feel guitar music is. So you have to kind of pay attention to that, because there is something to be said for being timely. It's no different than being in the movie business. You don't want to put an album out ahead of time or behind its time. You want to be right on point.
Talking to Billy Corgan here from Smashing Pumpkins at the K-Rock Acoustic Christmas. We've got some huge news about a surprise pumpkin show to announce in just a minute. Talk about who are in the Pumpkins these days. I think a lot of people may be surprised at some of the names.
Well, right now on tour, we have Mark Sturmer from The Killers playing bass, and Brad Wilk from Rage Against the Machine on drums, and Jeff, who's been in the band now for about 8 years, Jeff Schroeder, who's LA native. Quite the all-star lineup, and it's really interesting because I've had people come to shows and say this is the best lineup they've ever seen the band have, including the original lineup, which really surprised me because, you know, we've only played about 8-9 shows together, but the power of this lineup, particularly the musicianship, is really translating off the stage.
Does it help to have people who are established, like, you know, in their own thing come into your thing?
I think it says something more about their accomplishment. They're successful for a reason. They're really great at what they do, but also they have an individual voice, which I think is the hardest thing to do in a band, is to have your own voice. Pretty shocking to me. Honestly, I thought it would be good and, you know, everybody would be fine, but it's far better than I could have thought.
You've been talking about this latest record that just came out, by the way, and you should totally get it, and I mean pay for it, kids. Monuments and Elegy. Why is it the middle of a trilogy? What do you mean by that?
I started this project a few years ago, and it's become so convoluted and confusing that it's almost harder to explain. We wrote songs for two albums and then split them apart. Basically, it was going to be a double album, and I decided, forget that. So now this the one that's coming out now is the first of a two-parter. The second part will be at the end of next year.
All right, let's talk about this show. The Fonda Theater, tomorrow night, Tuesday, December 16th. That's a great room. That's awesome. Tickets are on sale today if you're hearing this on Monday morning at 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock this morning, buy tickets to see the Pumpkins tomorrow night at the Fonda Theater. Let's give away some tickets right now. 5 pair at 1-800-520-1067, starting with caller 20. And there might be a surprise guest tomorrow night, too.
Hopefully, we can cajole a Mr. Tommy Lee on stage.
He drummed on the record.
He did. He did a beautiful job. I know that surprised a lot of people, but he's a great drummer.
It's great to see you again, Billy.
Thank you so much, guys.
We love you, man. I mean, seriously, let's bump fists.
So that happened.
Go to krock.com and see the video of me falling off the stage last night. And by the way, we haven't even talked about this. We talked about how it happened, and we talked about all the blood and the fainting and everything this morning before I got to work. We haven't talked about how much I'm going to sue.
You're suing?
I have to, right?
Workplace injury.
Isn't this
right?
I mean, there must be. Shouldn't I be calling dose right now and get myself an attorney?
I hadn't thought of that.
We have to have a personal injury attorney listening to this show right now. We need to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067.
Can you sue for being a dumbass?
I was involved in a workplace injury in the completion of my duties on stage last night at Acoustic Christmas.
But we all had the same duties and none of us fell.
That stage isn't safe.
I agree. There should have been a railing.
Yes.
There absolutely should have been a railing. There should have been lights. Hmm. I shouldn't have been able to step into a hole in the dark.
I agree. And there's no handicapped access either, by the way.
And I think Dr. Drew Pinsky pushed me.
I'm pretty sure that happened.
I think you have a case.
I think he did.
And I bet I could find me a witness who would support my theory that Dr. Drew either pushed me either physically or with his eyes.
You think he has that kind of power?
Well, he is dreamy.
He just look at you. And...
So we want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. Please pick up the phone. Personal injury attorneys. And let me know. Give me a range of how much an accident like this would normally go for.
Yeah.
Now, I do not appear to be paralyzed, but for the right amount, I might start to feel that way.
Ah, one of those guys that fakes it?
Sometimes these things come on later.
How often have you heard about that in a car accident where somebody gets out and walks away and then the next day they wake up and they're just laid out and they can barely move? I mean, that definitely does happen.
Yep.
So did I – well, I guess we'll ask our attorney when we get one. But
for the rest of you, krock.com, kevinandme.com, he's okay. So it's all right to laugh.
So far.
I'm okay. It depends what my attorney tells me.
Oh, I see.
My attorney is going to tell me. All right. While we're waiting to get Alex on the line, let's hear a little piece from the news this morning. I guess our friends over at KNBC Channel 4 had a chuckle.
Popular local DJ gave the crowd at a Christmas concert a scare when he fell off the stage. Now, this happened last night at radio station K-Rock's annual almost acoustic Christmas concert. There's some cell phone video of it right there. Longtime station DJ Gene Baxter, also known as Bean, fell off the stage at the Forum during introductions. And we do understand that paramedics treated him at the scene, and we hope he's doing well.
Yeah, I hope he's okay.
Do we have time to play the show audio, and then we'll talk to my attorney, Alex?
Are you kidding?
Rodney, what's next, my friend?
Like All there's right, a shortage here we go. Of what a place here.
Who fell off the stage?
Anyway,
you know, we have important rock and roll to conduct tonight.
This is where it all happens.
Well, please.
What's happening right now is that Rodney is introducing No Doubt, and Jed is introducing No Doubt at the same time.
Yes.
Will you welcome No Doubt?
No Doubt.
Rodney just adds to it.
And Jed could not have been more delighted to see me fall off the stage. All right. My attorney, Alex, who's going to get 10% of however many millions I get, is on the phone.
Well,
he's from Long Beach. And by the way, at the show last night, so he witnessed it with his own eyes. Alex, welcome, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing great. Did you say 10%?
That was pretty low.
Is that low? Is that unreasonable for this kind of case?
You know, the industry standard is about a third.
30%,
Yeah, we'll talk.
It's negotiable. All right, listen. First of all, you saw it with your eyes. Tell me how it looked from where you were sitting at the Forum last night.
My wife and I were there. We were in section 109, so we had pretty good seats.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good line of sight on what happened. And at first we thought it was a joke. Nobody could misread the stage that much to fall off.
In other words, I should have been more aware of where the sides of the stage were that we were standing on?
Yeah, you got a couple strikes going against you. The first is a legal theory called assumption of the risk, and that is if you put yourself out there in a situation where there's some known hazards, like a stage.
Right.
You know, the law assumes that you're going to be reasonable enough.
A stage that he had been on, four times over the weekend? Right. He'd been on that stage.
Yeah, we did introduce other bands.
We also had a long conversation with Miss Double D, Ashley, because she wanted to stage dive. And we were like, no, the stage is way too high and the crowd's too far back. So we had that conversation.
Hey, whose side are you on here, man?
Not yours.
All right, so assumption of risk. You're saying that maybe it appears that I am at fault?
Well, that's just the first strike.
Okay, right. Strike one.
The, The second is, under California law, the standard is, what would a reasonable person do in your situation? And as I recall, nobody else had any problem with the stage left.
That's correct. Why does the reasonable person argument never apply to me with whatever I'm talking about?
Yeah, when you're in law school, you know, they teach you about the reasonable person standard, and you have to make an assumption, again, that most people act, you know, with, you know, they're able to do simple tasks, walk, navigate a stage.
There were 20 of us on stage, and one of us fell off.
Rodney is 150, and he didn't fall off the stage.
Yeah, that's the second strike.
Okay, so strike two.
The third strike, if I can, just from a personal observation.
Sure.
My wife and I were so excited to see No Doubt.
Right.
The fact that you fell right before they came on sort of ruined the buzz.
Sort of ruined it, didn't it?
Yeah.
Sort of a bummer. So now you're going to sue me. That's what's happening here.
I'm not ruling it out.
All right, so that's strike three. Can I give you strike four?
Sure.
Bean was on a stretcher and then in an ambulance.
Paramedics, yeah.
Yeah, and the paramedics said, we suggest you go to the hospital. And Bean signed paperwork saying he was fine and he didn't want to go to the hospital. Did you or did you not sign that paper?
He was concussed. How would he know?
I did. Yeah. My other attorney, Lisa May, says...
Alex, you're a crappy attorney.
Lisa says I couldn't have been thinking clearly under all that stress.
Yes. You can't ask a man to sign papers at that moment.
Right?
Yeah. In the law, that's what we call a bad fact.
A bad fact.
And that hurts me or helps me?
Yeah, I'm going to go with hurts you.
Wow, there's nothing good about this conversation.
Only the video
of watching you fall. I mean, not really, now that I know you're going to be okay.
Hey, besides that, which we're all one day going to laugh about, and maybe today is that day, what'd you think of the show, Alex?
I thought it was fantastic. And, you know, what really struck me was the diversity of the crowd. You had, you know, dads with kids. You had teenagers. Everybody having a great time. The show was fantastic. I my own personal bias, I thought all the bands were great, but I thought Weezer was over the top.
They were incredible.
Fantastic.
They were incredible. Yeah. Oh, hold on a second. You all right?
I'm all right. And Lisa pointed out, I think, it was unbelievable how many really young people were singing along to every song from Tears for Fears.
Yeah,
that music is so classic that everybody still knows and loves those songs, even if you were born after those albums came out.
Yeah, it was great, and I got to tell you, that was the point where I chose to go get a drink, and even the bartenders behind the bar there at the farm were rocking out the cheers.
Yeah, they were great. Well, I'm glad you and your wife had a nice time. I'm sorry we're not going to be able to work together. I will find a better attorney who will see it my way, Alex. But thanks for listening, and thanks for calling in. All right, man?
No worries. Thank you, guys.
Bye-bye, sir.
He saw it your way in every against you in every possible way.
He is not my friend.
Nope. Shouldn't talk about
it. I know I fell off the stage, Kevin. You don't have to keep reminding me. I can feel it in my tailbone.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:37.
System of a Down. Interview for you at 8 a.m. Marilyn Manson live in our studio at 9 talking about some new music. Very excited about that. First, though, we've been hearing a lot about this Seth Rogen, James Franco movie. It's finally coming out on Christmas Day. We're so excited about that. And we're also excited to talk to the dear leader himself. He plays Kim Jong-un in the film. And we love him on Veep as Minnesota Governor Danny Chung, war hero, who joins us on the phone right now on K-Rock. Hello, sir.
Hey, how are you guys?
Very good, thank you.
Mr. Randall Park, we're so excited to talk to you. Look, you've been an actor for a long time. You've done a lot of things, some very funny things. There's no way to prepare for being Kim Jong-un in a Seth Rogen movie. That's beyond the pale.
Yeah. When I first found out about this, I was like, these guys are nuts.
Yeah.
These guys are insane. This is crazy and amazing. And I read the script, and I was like, this is really amazing. And, so I did research, and there's hardly anything about the guy.
Right. That's what's so weird is because every time you play a new person, you have, you know, books and tweets and interviews and newspaper articles and video. You have so much stuff. But, I mean, I feel like we've seen about 3 minutes of tape on him since he took over for his father.
Yeah. And I looked at those 3 minutes over and over and over again. And there's a show called Vice on HBO, and they followed Dennis Rodman to North Korea to meet Kim Jong-un, and that was like and there's actual video footage of him meeting Dennis Rodman, and that was like really useful for me, and that was pretty much, you know, the main thing that I use as far as just kind of seeing him in action.
They convince the people there in North Korea that he is a deity, right? That he's a god. It's not just the leader. I mean, he's actual deity.
Yeah. I mean, his whole lineage is there's all those kind of myths about him. The guy doesn't pee or poo.
By the way, that would be pretty awesome.
That would be awesome.
That'd be pretty awesome.
Now, does he have the same kind of stories that his father used to about shooting holes in one on the golf course the first time he ever played and scoring 80 points in a basketball game? Do they make up those kind of athletic stories about him as well?
Yeah, I'm not. There's so little kind of documented information about him because he's so new to the throne, I guess.
Right.
There is for sure because part of the reason why he has that haircut, from what I've read, is because they're trying to link him to his grandfather, who was the first president of Korea, and who also was a deity and is considered to be like the eternal president of Korea. He's like the god of the god.
Tell us,
he had that haircut. So they're trying to like kind of connect him, make a stronger connection to his grandfather.
How'd you like having that haircut?
I hated it.
Tell us about the first time you heard anything about the fact that North Korea is angry about this movie.
Yeah, when I first heard it, I wasn't surprised. I always had a feeling they'd make some sort of statement, I was surprised it was the teaser trailer that they made the statement from. I mean, right away, they jumped on it.
Now, do they make that statement officially, we're angry, but isn't the deal with that family that they actually love Western entertainment and they, get all of our movies and music anyway?
Yeah. I mean, what's documented about Kim Jong-il, the father of Kim Jong-un, is that he was obsessed with Western movies. He was a director himself.
But
he made movies.
But no movies about them, about the leaders, right? About his father or his son.
Not that I know. Yeah. The whole family, from what I read, was obsessed with Western movies and the NBA. They loved basketball.
Right. So weird. Yeah. Hey, is Dennis Rodman in your movie, Randall?
No, he's not.
Voice of actor Randall Park. He plays Kim Jong-un, the dear leader, in The Interview in theaters everywhere on Christmas Day. You know what else is really weird? And I know that, we get little bits and pieces of information about North Korea that, kind of get smuggled out or whatever. Remember earlier this year when Kim Jong-un was missing for like a month? Nobody had seen him. There were no sightings. There were rumors that he died. There was rumors that he had some serious illness. And then eventually he showed up in a heavily edited video of him with a cane. And we heard it was the gout or something. I mean, we take so many things for granted in the United States. We know where everyone in our government is at every minute of the day. And you just can't go away for a weekend or a week or a month and not have your people know where you are in this country. But they can get away with anything in North Korea.
They can get away with anything. I mean, for all I know, they might not have even known that he was missing, I don't know.
That's weird.
Did you know Seth or James before making this film, Randall?
I knew them a little bit. I had done a small part on the movie Neighbors, which Seth was in.
Yeah.
And he produced. So I met him there, him and Evan Goldberg. I'd never met James before, but
Kim Jong-un, by the way. He's a crazy American.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. He is kind of a deity.
Well, The Interview looks magnificent, and we're talking to Seth on tomorrow morning's Kevin and Bean Show. We're looking forward to that. It's in theaters on Christmas Day, but we can't let you off the phone without congratulating you and your cast on the Golden Globe nominations, and I think the Screen Actors Guild nominations, too, for Veep. That is, and we've said this on the air many times, sir, that is the funniest show on television right now, and you guys should be so proud of the work you're doing over there.
Oh, man, I agree with you. It's such a great show.
So great.
It's an incredible group of people.
When's that coming back on the air?
I don't know. I think they're winding down the season right now.
Are you still a part of it? Do you know that?
I'm actually shooting another show while they're shooting Veep. So, but I was able to pop in and do an episode.
Great. Veep airs on HBO. The interview is in theaters everywhere on Christmas Day. Randall Park, I'm so glad we got a chance to talk to you, man. We're big fans of your work. We appreciate the time.
Oh, I appreciate it. So great talking to you guys. Have a good one.
Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 7:54. Earlier this hour, we world premiered a brand new song from the band Modest Mouse. We're going to play that for you again coming up after the top of the hour. Plus, we have our interview with System of a Down, Andrew Siciliano next hour, and Marilyn Manson at 9. Time for the Showbiz Beat now. Here's Ralph.
It's Monday morning, so we look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Exodus, Gods and Kings. Well, if Gods and Kings don't get you into the theater, what will, for God's sakes?
Yeah. Good point.
$24.5 million made it number one. A lot of people went to see Batman fight Ramses. That Red Sea sure parts.
Sure does. That looks cool.
$24.5 million, as I mentioned, made it number one. The Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 1 was knocked out of the top slot by Exodus. It made another $13.2 million, however. Penguins of Madagascar was third, then top five. The new Chris Rock movie was fourth. Big Hero 6 was fifth. The top five is fourth. Big Hero 6 is fifth. No wonder I'm confused.
So confused.
Interstellar is sixth. Horrible Boss is 2. Dumb and Dumber 2. The Theory of Everything and Wild were your top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Congratulations, ladies. He's single. Ooh. Bo Duke is single. John Schneider from the Dukes of Hazzards. Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't he Superman's dad?
He is.
He seems like a pretty good deal.
Jonathan Kent?
Yeah.
Did a good job raising that Kal-El. Turned him into Superman. Can't ask for more than that, can you?
Well, I guess not, probably.
He seems like a prize, right, Lisa?
He seems like a nice guy.
I think he's dreamy.
Smart.
Why don't you two date him?
He was never on my list.
Oh, really?
Sorry.
Drives the General Lee?
Come on. What do you need?
Come on.
My problem.
We'll get some Bo Duke. You can have your Luke. Give me Bo. Anyone?
No.
You
can have all of them.
Kind of a Tom Wopat girl.
Oh,
really?
There you go.
Yeah.
Good pull. Good pull. The other guy in Dukes of Hazzard.
The woe has not aged well. Schneider's still the man.
Yeah,
I agree. He's got good jeans.
I agree. Yeah. Ralph and I like the same kind of dudes, I guess.
How he fits in those jeans, too, my friends.
Can't be part of this.
His eyes are so dreamy.
Phil Cosby spoke out about his alleged multiple sexual assaults over the weekend. Talked to the New York Post briefly. Didn't really address the abuse claims head on, but he is talking about how he's being treated in the press. He said, "I only expect the black media to uphold the standards of excellence in journalism. And when you do that, you have to go in with a neutral mind."
That's a super racist thing to say, by the way.
He's saying he has expectations that the black media will have a neutral mind and not prejudge him as they report on these stories. However, the white media apparently has just written the white media off.
Why would he say that? That doesn't make sense.
I think it is an easy catch-all way to try to deflect all of the charges that are reported in any media other than Jet Magazine or some other source. If it's Time Magazine or the New York Post or the New York Times.
All run by white racist
people.
The
white man is trying to take down Bill Cosby by reporting these stories.
Hmm.
So with one broad stroke, he is trying to disavow and impugn these stories across the board.
Well, it seems like they aren't just stories. It seems like there are a lot of people coming forward and saying,
yeah.
So what about that?
Yeah. And several of the accusers are African-American women.
Yeah.
So they're having a hard time keeping a neutral mind, I guess, when their neutral minds have been clouded by drugs and then they've been attacked.
Yeah. Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Weird.
He's
That's a weird statement.
As the layers of the onion are peeled, you're starting to realize what a devious, evil dude this guy is.
Yeah.
He's like really a seriously bad dude.
Yep. It's like when we found out that Mr. Rogers killed all those guys in Nam. Remember, it's just you think he's like an image.
That didn't happen.
And everything.
He burned those villages to the ground.
Yep.
Yep.
That didn't
just
happen.
Like that.
All that massacre. How
about some make-believe about hoes?
Mm-hmm. Yep. He loved the hoes.
I just can't think of him the same way since he passed and we found all that stuff out about him.
About him and his hoes. Then Cosby also addressed his wife of 50 years, Camille, saying that she's handling the accusations with love and the strength of womanhood. And if you could reverse it, the strength of womanhood and love.
I don't know what that means.
It means nothing.
and the fact that he would bring his wife into it and then start talking about the virtues of womanhood.
Yeah, that's
when
gross.
He's done nothing but soil those virtues for years, allegedly.
Yeah, his wife should murder Mr. Cosby in his sleep is what should happen.
Well, and not until she cuts his wang off. Right. First, there should be some wang cutting, I think. The wang cutters, by the way. The one with the Truvis.
How are they?
Did good stuff.
Yeah.
And we're talking about...
Anybody fall off the stage at that show?
No. It's kind of dull. We were talking about the Sony hack, and you guys were just talking to the guy who plays Kim Jong-un in The Interview.
Uh-huh.
The new Sony Pictures movie starring Seth Rogen and James Franco. Well, Stephen Colbert is stepping down after Thursday's show this week, and tonight's guest on Colbert will be Seth Rogen.
Awesome.
Talking about that movie, and he might have a few words to say about Sony, the Sony hacking, and also about the pressure from Sony to pacify North Korean concerns with his film. I don't know if you read about this at all from the Sony hack.
I didn't.
There are emails going back and forth. For the first time in 25 years, the CEO of Sony in Tokyo stepped in and said, we need to change some of this in this movie.
Wow, really? So they're
specifically the assassin, spoiler alert, the assassination of Kim Jong-un in the film.
Yeah.
And if you read the details of the email, we don't have time for it here, but it's like, yes, we had to take the part of his flaming hair off and cover it up with CGI with another explosion because his skull pieces over here were very disturbing. It's funny how they massage the assassination attempt to try to make it less graphic, I assume.
I'm almost surprised by this because we have no relationship with North Korea. This isn't like we're protecting an ally.
Also, Sony has publicly announced that they are not going to distribute the film anywhere in Asia. No Asian country will get this film.
Wow.
So I'm not quite sure what they're concerned about, but the Japanese CEO of Sony in Tokyo was concerned enough to start making changes to the film.
That's significant, too.
Probably worried about hacks.
Because China is the biggest movie market in the world now, right?
Yep. So they're not going to get their hilarious interview.
Hmm.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Adam Brody from The O.C., and he's done a lot of great work since. 35 years old today. Stuart Townsend turns 42 years old today. And actor Don Johnson, he was Miami freaking Vice. Crockett and Tubbs. Remember Sonny Crockett?
Sure.
He lived on a boat, had a pet alligator named Elvis. How cool is he? And then he started singing. Hit it, Steve.
Yeah. Seriously trying to have a career or just a one-off?
This was a big number five smash, by the way, Kevin.
Yeah!
I think it's hot.
It is hot. It's hot.
It's tight. It's a hit, man, and I like it.
It's a hit. It's a hot.
I'm going to go get it. That's a keeper right there.
Go get it.
That is a keeper.
That was the single off his smash hit album, Heartbeat. He was dating Barbara Streisand for a hot minute, and I think she said, well, why don't you sing, too? And he said, okay.
Hmm. It was a big record on MTV, too, remember?
Yeah, great
video.
Because
he was Mr. Video.
Yeah, he was a photographer. And he was, like, taking pictures in the war zone, man. He was looking for a heartbeat. Those were the good old days.
What's happening?
When people could stay on stages. Good times. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show as beat.
Modest Mouse on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. We world premiered that a little bit earlier this morning. Lampshades on Fire.
Got a chance to talk to Isaac Brock backstage at Acoustic Christmas last night. He seems very excited about the new album that's coming out near the first part of the year. And he also told us that he can never stop remixing music. He says he's never satisfied with any Modest Mouse song. And that he said this, he anticipates that he'll continue to mix that album for until 2 years after it's out.
Yeah. After we've already bought it.
Really?
And have heard it, he'll keep working on it.
There'll be an official version out there, and then he will continue to remix it. He just can't stop.
He is a tinkerer for life. Yeah. But that's brand new Modest Mouse world premiered this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, and we'll be playing that for you every hour this morning.
We were also in the dressing room to do an interview with System of a Down, and everybody was talking at the same time. That's why Bean had to start like this.
We are backstage. Hey, we're talking here. We're backstage at the Fabulous Forum with the band that is closing out night number one of the 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. Ladies and gentlemen, the great System of a Down sitting on the couch with us. Boys, how are you feeling?
Very good. Thank you.
It's been over a year since the last System of a Down show in Southern California, right? Tell us what you guys have been up to.
I'm doing the family thing.
Personally, Sean was doing a family thing. I don't know what that means.
No, what it means is I'm focusing while we were. I was like, let me take this time that I don't have with my group, with my brothers, and grown, you know.
All right.
And I think we're all kind of...
Shavo did something very rare. He had 2 kids in 3 months. And that's because we didn't have a lot of time off.
That happened.
So we had to get it done very quickly.
Serge, let's hear from you. It's significant when you guys are back together and you've got a big 2015 already planned.
Right.
Tell us about it.
Well, we've got 2 tours planned. One is in April, and it's starting in Los Angeles, actually. And it's going to be called Wake Up the Souls Tour. And it's regarding recognition of the Armenian Genocide, spreading awareness having to do with something that's near and dear to us that, you know, we've been doing since the first day as a band.
And that date, by the way, is April 6th at the Forum. And this is the first you are hearing about this. Monday, April 6th at the Forum. Tickets go on sale this Friday at 10 o'clock through Ticketmaster.com. And that's a cause that you have a lot of support for here in Southern California because of the large Armenian-American population.
And also a very, you know, educated California kind of knowing about the genocide, awareness about the genocide and history itself. So we're thankful for that. Yeah.
I don't mean this disrespectful, but it's sort of a downer, you know what I mean? Like, how do you try and get the message out?
You know how we're, how I look at it? Yeah, we don't want to do that anymore. I think 100, because it's the 100th year anniversary, we said we should celebrate the fact that we're here on stage, on the radio, telling you about it. We got to that level. Let's not mourn 100 years what has already happened. Let's try to...
educate.
By educating, you raise awareness. By raising awareness, you grow people's minds.
Souls shows before, yeah. And they haven't been downers. No, it's been actually very uplifting.
There's been intense
energy in that audience.
So you mentioned there's 2 parts to the Souls tour. So Los Angeles at the Forum, and then
we're
doing
another 6 days throughout Europe, and the last and final show will be in Armenia, in Yerevan, at Republic Square, a giant free show that we're going to broadcast around the world, and it's the first time that we've played Armenia, our cultural homeland, so we're really excited about that.
How is it possible it's the first time you've ever played there?
You know, we've had a few opportunities, but timing's been an issue and different other things that I won't get into now, but yeah.
It's actually worked out pretty well that we haven't played there because it makes it that much more special that we're playing there now.
Serge, what's that going to feel like for you that night on that symbolic occasion in that country doing your music?
It's kind of like a full circle. You know, from the beginning of this band, I mean, we didn't plan on being 4 Armenians in a band together. It just kind of turned out that way. But it's our personal story. You know, the genocides affected all of us, our families and our losses. And it's also a justice that needs to be resolved, you know. And it's not just having to do with Armenians. It has to do with genocide still occurring now. And it has to do with the fact that there's still not any executable international response to any genocide that might happen right now.
And people can go to systemofdown.com for kind of a primer on the situation over there.
Yes, we've got a heat map of the world, and it shows like different data and facts having to do with each capital and what countries have recognized the genocide of Greeks, Armenians, and Assyrians during World War I. And they can take action by joining us and the good people of conscience in Turkey that are working hard, putting their own lives in trouble and possibly going to jail to talk about this issue in Turkey. So, it's a big thing.
System of a Down, Wake Up the Souls Tour is going to be right here in this building, April the 6th at the Forum. Tickets go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. through Ticketmaster. And by the way, all this week on K-Rock, we are launching a week-long promotion, giving away tickets to see you guys at the show. And I want to make sure they ran this by you. Plus, a grand prize winner and 10 friends get the VIP hookup, which includes a dressing room, catering, a meet and greet with the band, merchandise, and intros the band on stage.
Oh, hang on.
How
no
about
checked,
that?
Checked with us.
You guys aware of that?
And,
actually, I think
first
two. You know what it is? Shava won that already. So
yeah, Shava won, so we're safe.
Plus, I knew someone that knew someone.
Well, listen, as we say goodbye, because I know you guys are getting ready to go on stage here in a couple minutes. It's so special having you here for the 25th anniversary, because you've been such an important part of the radio station for so long. I mean, you're one of our all-time greatest bands, and we're so happy to
see
you.
Can I say something about K-Rock?
Of course.
For me, it's not just the radio station. I mean, I've been listening to K-Rock since it was New Wave, since the first day that you guys came out. But to me, it's the people that I've met that I've become friends with over the years. And we've made a lot of really good friends, a lot of positive people, and that's what we'll be celebrating tonight is all of you.
God bless you, Serge. Yeah, System, thanks so much. All of you, we really appreciate your
time. Thank you very much.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ.
What are you eating?
Kevin Amicho.
What are you eating?
Nothing.
All right, it seemed like there was food. Hey, System of a Down there on K-Rock, who, by the way...
You're in the room, and you can see there's no...
It's almost impossible to pick a favorite from the weekend, Yeah. System of a Down might be my favorite of the weekend, though.
Yeah, it was pretty strong.
They were powerful. And as you just heard, they are coming to town April 6th at the Forum. You can go to KROQ.com for all the details and sign up to get a meet and greet with the band and introduce the guys on stage. And last night they brought out a kid to play what instrument, Muggs?
The guitar with them. During Sugar.
Yeah, during Sugar. A fan. Had a fan up on stage, and it was amazing.
Wow,
it was
that's
great.
Cool.
Hey, Marilyn Manson joins us at 9. Andrew Siciliano talks NFL before that, but look who's on the phone, you guys.
It's Mole.
Hey, Mole.
Hi, Mole.
Hey, Kevin B. Hey, Lisa May, you know who it is?
Yeah, it's Mole.
It's Mole.
Yeah.
Right.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm good, man. I'm ready to name the last 106.7 song. Start the clock, Ralph. Okay, the last song was the one, the sorter. Okay, you know it. We just heard
What are you talking
number
about?
Number two was the one by the guy who go out with the lady who go in that movie.
No,
number three was, I don't know.
We're not doing a contest where you have to list songs.
Yeah, yeah, you're talking about the Furious Five at Nine or something. That's not what we're doing.
The Coastal Christmas concert tickets and the chance for a VIP brunch experience with Chester Bennington.
We're not...
Come
that's
on,
not
a you too.
Mole, what are you talking about with all these things? There's no Linkin Park played Acoustic Christmas this weekend. Is
right.
that what you mean?
No, what?
Linkin Park, you mentioned Chester Bennington. They right. played Acoustic Christmas this weekend. They were fantastic.
No, not this weekend. Next weekend for the concerts.
The concerts were yesterday and the day before.
Saturday and Sunday, yeah.
I missed you too.
Well, you.
we no, all missed you too.
You two got in a. Bono got in a bike accident and he didn't actually perform. But no doubt.
For the X Games or something?
But no doubt was there. What?
Nope. He was just on his bike in Central Park on a Sunday morning and apparently ran into another pedestrian.
What? Did he get a DUI or something? Why is he riding a bike to work?
No, he was trying to stay in shape. I think he was just going around Central Park.
Exercise.
Yeah.
You know,
oh,
like people
no.
do.
Who played instead of you two?
No doubt.
The lady from the TV? Did she judge all the other singers?
No, she didn't. Couldn't be nicer.
No Doubt has been around for 25 years, long before the lady was on TV, and they were great. They closed out the whole weekend last night, and they were magnificent.
Well, hold on a second. You're saying I missed the concerts?
Yeah,
yes.
Both.
This is nutrageous. You know what? I bet I know what happened. I bet that rain last week shorted out my interdigital clock.
Whatever happened, you definitely had the wrong day if you were thinking it was next weekend. I'm sorry, Mole. I mean, I wish you'd have been there. We had tickets for you.
Oh, my God. You know what? I've been driving a dune buggy around, and everything got all wet. No way to deal with a stormnado. Hey, speaking of which, one other thing.
What are you talking about, driving a dune buggy around?
You know, it's my brother-in-law. I'm just borrowing it for a while. Hey, there's more rain on the way this week. When are we going river tubing, dudes? You live by the river, right?
I don't think that we're going river tubing. I think, no, I don't think so. I mean,
why don't you guys park downstream? We'll take the dune buggy up to Glendale. There's an auto body shop with a hole in the fence. We can get right in.
Well, we'll meet you there.
Can I switch gears for a second, Kevin? Can I ask you a question really quick?
Yeah. All right, then we got to go.
Okay. Yeah. What do you think is going to happen in the last episode of Sons of Anarchy? No, don't tell me. Don't tell me. No. I want to wait and see who offs Jack. You get offs Jack. Off Jack. It sounds like making Kansas City hand pudding.
Yeah. It's over. You know that, right?
Pants jam. You know, baby batter.
Right. We know what you're
we
saying.
We got it, Mole.
Yes. What I'm saying is Sons of Anarchy is over.
Yeah, you missed it. Series is completed.
Oh, my God. It's messing me up.
Yeah. I'm sorry. This time change, man, is just you never recovered from that, did you, Mole?
I mistimed my festival narcos.
We got to go.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 8:37.
Why do I feel like you're going to take the opportunity to tell every single person that doesn't know about it, Kevin, what happened last night?
Well,
that's the wrong button.
That's the one I wanted. Once we find out that you're okay, it's the best thing ever.
Like Siciliano, he was there last night, but didn't see it.
Hey, Andrew.
All right. Good morning, first
Hi.
Of all. Second of all, so Sanchez just calls me and says, so what do you think of the end? And I said, dude, we left with like three songs to No Doubt. We love Glenn, but... You know, time to go, dead tired. And then he won't even tell me what it was I missed.
It was awesome. The entire K-Rock team, air staff, was out on the stage to bring on No Doubt.
I saw that.
Did you? But you didn't see Bean step backwards into the floor and fall off of the stage?
Oh, no, no, no. I saw that. I thought there was like some Rock and Roll Hall of Fame reunion he was telling me about.
No, we're just talking about the death of Bean.
Yes.
No, no, no.
Oh, no. I saw you making an ass of yourself. That was awesome.
I don't like to think of it as me making an ass of myself. I like to think of it as being a tragic mistake and an accident.
Okay. Let me back up 5 seconds. Are you okay?
I am in a lot of pain, but ultimately I'm nothing but grateful and humbled that I didn't die or get paralyzed or break a leg or a head.
So, yes, he's okay.
I'm okay.
Okay. I'm a bad person. Your health should be my primary concern.
You are a bad
person. You're okay. Yes, I did see it.
And it just didn't impress you that much. What has a guy got to do to get attention from Andrew Siciliano?
A half gainer off the stage.
Okay, so I was talking to the people sitting next to me, and I guess that I didn't realize the severity or the distance of your fall.
Yeah, it was
it was 5 feet, and you never saw me jump back up because the paramedics took me out on a stretcher into an ambulance.
Yes. That's true.
Yes.
Yes.
Seriously?
That's true, yes.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, wow.
So okay, I'm glad you're able to enjoy this now.
Wow. Are you in the hospital now, or are you in the studio?
No, we came into the studio. I was like,
okay.
What's happening?
Woo.
Andrew, all right. You all right?
I thought it was like, you know, some like 12 bands together on stage.
No. The show was as advertised. All right, listen, I want to talk about some football because we were just saying before we got you on the phone, Andrew, of course, is the host of the DirecTV Red Zone channel and host of Around the NFL and the NFL Network at 3. We were just saying there's never a weekend in the NFL where there's not upsets, where there's not phenomenal plays, where there's not surprises, great storylines, amazing things to recap with you, and that's why we love you on Mondays. I want to start with the Patriots, though. How hard is it to win 6 divisional titles in a row, Andrew? Are we in the history yet? How often does that happen?
Yeah, it's only about a handful of times. And I think not only the 6 divisional titles, but, I mean, look at the fact that they have won 17 consecutive games against the division at home. No one goes there and beats them ever. The Dolphins have never gone there and beaten them when Tom Brady is the quarterback. It's never happened. Now, they have obviously lost at home in the playoffs.
Right.
Most notably a couple of years ago to the Ravens. So, you know, their infallibility at home has an asterisk. And once again, assuming that they hold on to the number one seed in the AFC, we'll see this year if there needs to be an asterisk. But nobody wants to go there in the playoffs. And nobody wants to go to Lambeau to play the Packers in the playoffs either.
Is that the Super Bowl that football fans want, is Patriots-Green Bay?
I mean, I'd love to see it.
That sounds like a great game.
There are other great combinations, though. Throw the Cowboys, if the Cowboys make it, and there is a chance they may not make it still, but throw the Cowboys into the playoffs against almost anybody, and that will be a spectacular where nobody will be falling off.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right.
Nobody will be falling off the stage.
I want to talk about the NFC West for a minute just because what went so horribly wrong for the San Francisco 49ers, who, as we've talked about before, have been to the playoff game and the Super Bowl in each of the last 3 years. What happened?
All right, so, I mean, to your point, it's the NFC Championship game each of the last 3 years, including one trip there to the Super Bowl, where they were honestly one play away from winning the damn thing in New Orleans. You know, inevitably, breakups happen, and you get sick of the person you're with. And it seems to be that the 49ers have gotten sick of their coach, and it is undeniable that the coach and the front office have gotten sick of each other, and it has simply fallen apart. They are also, to be fair, very injured. Without Navarro Bowman, their defense has been decimated all year.
They lost Frank Gore yesterday.
They lost Frank Gore yesterday. They lost Carlos Hyde yesterday as well. You know, eventually you come back to the pack. And they're a 500 team right now. That's what they are. They are an average football team, and they have been eliminated. They will not make the playoffs.
Wow, that's crazy.
That is shocking. I mean, I thought they were the second best team in the NFL last year.
And most people did. And Jim Harbaugh is going to be gone. I'm not saying.
I was just going to ask, are they going to fire him?
It's going to, now he has a year left. There's going to be a divorce. They're sick of each other, and they're just going to go their other ways, their separate ways. He may very well coach the Raiders. He may very well coach the Dolphins. He may very well be traded. What would you trade for a coach?
Yeah, I don't know. Wow, I don't know. Does he? Do you think he wants to go, or do you think that he would like to stay and just regroup and, hey, do over?
I think he would stay if he had absolute total control, which he will not have. So I think because of that, he would probably like to leave.
All right. Last question for me, Mr. Siciliano, is how much shine is off of Aaron Rodgers' otherwise remarkable season after losing in Buffalo again?
None.
Are you saying none?
I'm saying none. He will still, in all likelihood, win the MVP, although J.J. Watt could get some votes. And nobody, as I said, wants to go up there and play the Packers in the postseason. They are fine, and I still think they beat the Lions Week 17 and win the division.
All right, two more weeks of Red Zone, man, and then you get your Sundays back.
Yeah, I'm gonna miss you guys too, because don't you guys go away like for 9 weeks or something?
Yes, but we've got playoff football when we come back, my friend. So believe me, we'll still be in touch.
All right, please be safe.
Thank you. You as well, sir. And thank you for coming to the show. It was great to see you, and it was nice to have you on the broadcast yesterday afternoon. We had a lot of fun seeing you. We don't get to see you, at least I don't get to see you in person very often, so I really enjoyed it, Andrew.
Well, thanks for making me part of the show, and as always, thanks for having me there last night.
Around the NFL on NFL Network this afternoon at 3, DirecTV Red Zone Channel. It's Johnny Football, our friend Andrew Siciliano.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:53.
What do you have, Kevin?
Huh?
What? What did he have?
What? Old friend Marilyn Manson is here. Got some new music to debut for you. Talk about the new album coming out after the first of the year. Very excited to catch up with Manson. That's on the way. Ralph is here first with the show Biz Beat on K-Rock. Good morning, Ralph.
Everybody loves Moses. I've always said that.
I've never heard you say that
I
once.
I say it all the time.
Not one time.
Look at the bumper sticker on my car.
Does it say that?
It says everybody loves Moses.
Huh. Surprised we didn't notice that before.
Exodus, Gods and Kings, the movie starring Christian Bale as Moses. Oh, good for you! Freeing the slaves! La-di-da-di-da!
That's how they should have done it.
Made $24.5 million, making it number one at the box office, over Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 1, which made another $13.2 million. Penguins of Madagascar was third. Then Top 5, the new Chris Rock movie, was fourth. Big Hero was sixth. Then Big Hero 6 was fifth. Then Interstellar, Horrible Bosses, Dumb and Dumber 2, The Theory of Everything, and Wild.
New rule, can't put numbers in titles of movies.
Man, it's hard to
keep unless they're the appropriate sequel number.
Right. Sure. Yes, Big Hero 6 should be number 6 at the box office because there's a 6 in it.
Yeah.
Top 5 should be number 5 at the box office. Let's simplify the process. You right, Bean? You okay?
Sorry, I just got dizzy.
You just fell off the studio. How do you even do that? How do you fall off the station? Remember Burt Reynolds was selling all of his junk off?
Yeah.
Because he's broke?
Yeah.
Well, that happened this weekend, and we've got some numbers in. You might be interested to know what his personal effects went for.
First of all, he said he wasn't. He came out and said he wasn't broke, right?
Just that he had too many photos of himself.
I have too many wonderful things here that are valuable that I need to sell.
All right, another terminal. Sorry, my bad.
Okay. His People's Choice Award sold for $10,000.
Huh.
You can buy your own People's Choice Award for $10,000.
Yeah, that is
they'll
worthless
give you
award.
Give them $10,000 and People's Choice will give you an award.
That's weird.
His Golden Globe was $21,000. And his Emmy Award sold for over $28,000.
That's legitimate. What did he win an Emmy for? Evening Shade?
Evening Shade,
yeah.
The jacket he wore in Smokey and the Bandit
sold
for over $34,000.
More than his Emmy?
Yep.
Wow.
The thing I really wanted, his helmet from The Longest Yard. It only went for $8,000.
Mm.
I could have got that.
You could have.
The big ticket item, however, was his Trans Am, the Smokey and the Bandit Trans Am car from that feature film. What do you think it went for?
Still run?
Still runs.
$100,000.
$450,000.
Wow. Well, almost half a million dollars.
It is an iconic car. I mean, it's one of the most famous movie cars of all time, right?
Yeah.
But he's not broke, right?
No, okay. He's not broke. Right. He's got tons of money.
Not
tons
anymore.
Of money.
Too not
much
anymore.
Money. He's got too much money. That's the problem.
Now he's just got to worry about outliving whatever he made from this auction.
Yeah. No, he's going to give half of it to Lonnie Anderson. So it doesn't really matter. And everyone's following this Sony hack story. Every day,
they leak a little bit more of the things they stole from Sony's computer system. And a lot of people, Kevin Smith and I were talking about this over the weekend during Hollywood Babylon. We were saying, you know, a lot of people are comparing this to the nude photo hack of celebrities that had their nude, personal nude photos stolen and then
right.
disseminated on the internet. Is it the same if you are looking at Sony's stolen documents and reading about those and following those on the news? Is it a lot of people are saying you should never look at those photos. Don't look at the naked photos because
right.
you're just buying into something evil that the hackers did.
Right.
Is it the same with the Sony memos and emails?
Well, I don't know. One's personal, one's business. What did you guys come
up with? Yeah, but it's their business. It's a private company. It's not ours. It's not the government, you know.
But
yeah.
it's so delicious.
That's the thing, though. It is delicious, isn't it?
Yes.
Here we have from the New York Times over the weekend. It turns out that Sony's CEO, Kazuo Hirai, the head of Sony in Tokyo, for the first time in 25 years, stepped in to change some things in the Seth Rogen, James Franco movie, The Interview, out of concern and fear of reaction from the North Korean people. For the first time since owning the studio, Mr. Hirai has stepped in. He asked that they change the assassination sequence that takes place in the film. And here are his notes. No face melting. That's probably good advice.
No face melting.
Less fire in the hair, he asks for.
Wow.
Fewer embers on the face.
Wow.
So you can still kill him or try to assassinate him, but just don't make it
And the
graphic.
Head explosion must be considerably obscured by the fire.
Okay.
Apparently Kim Jong-un in the movie, spoilers, gets hit by a tank shell in the film. So the CEO asked the filmmakers to reportedly tone down the images of flaming hair and chunks of skull.
That's somebody's job, by the way, to have that conversation.
Hi, yeah. Could we get some less chunks of skull? flaming hair, we can go with the flaming hair, but it's the chunks of skull. And it's the melting face,
it's
really.
It's just so unpleasant.
Make the face a little less melty and the skull a little less chunky.
You can still blow his head off. You can still kill him, but
God
please.
God bless you.
Not so graphic.
See you at the premiere. Today's celebrity birthdays, Adam Brody of the OC, and many projects after that. Very talented guy. 35 years old today. Stuart Townsend is 42 years old. Actor Don Johnson, he was Sonny Crockett, mother effers. Don't ever forget that.
Yeah.
He was wearing a white linen suit with the sleeves pushed up and a turquoise T-shirt.
That happened a lot.
And then, you know what? Everyone else was wearing them, too, after he did that.
Yeah, that is very true.
It's true. He was the man.
Let me also say, a little bit of a reinvention not that long ago as the dad on Eastbound and Down, and he was very good on that show.
He's good in a lot of things.
Yeah, he's a good actor.
But he, of course...
He's so identified with the 80s, you forget that he's still working today and is still a pretty good actor.
65 years old today. And a pretty good singer, too. Let's not forget his singing career, where he had the smash hit song, Heartbeat.
Heartbeat.
Yeah, go Don. Exactly what the EMTs were saying to Bean when he fell off the stage last
night. That's
true. They were looking for a heartbeat.
That's true.
And sadly, they found one. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I love it when old friends come to visit, ladies and gentlemen. And I love this man. Manson joins us in studio.
Hey,
on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey.
How have you been, brother?
Been good. Been strange. Many years.
Yeah.
I don't remember when last time we met. I think it was...
I mean, it's been a number of years since we've seen each other in person. We've talked a few times since then.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's been a while.
I called in, and it's always defamatory.
And sometimes you come in, and I'm in the other studio, the remote location. But here we are.
Come inside and visit him.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Good.
But the visit.
So, thank you. You were telling me right as you said that I was commenting because you can see that we're shorts and t-shirts, guys. You are fancy. You look like you're going to a photo shoot. You're shooting a music video. You're doing something. This can't be how you walk around on a daily.
Well,
but you got full hair and makeup. You're wearing a suit.
It's it's not a suit. Look, I've got jeans on.
Uh-huh. Just fancy. I'm just impressed.
I button up. Thank you.
You're Mr. GQ
today. I just button my shirt all the way up to the top.
You have like seven rings, all of which could kill us.
They
look like weapons.
Just
the two thumb rings?
The two thumb rings.
Right.
No, I wouldn't kill you guys.
And what's
you guys.
What's the weapon there on your chest?
Well, because sometimes at night, I tend to have a, I guess maybe it's a habit. We'll just call it a habit.
Okay, a habit.
To go on Amazon and purchase things that are unnecessary.
I do that too.
Why? Yeah. Maybe I'm under the influence of pod and or alcohol.
Stuff shows up and I go, I don't remember ordering
one
that.
One click shopping is the best invention ever. I found what was called a gold-plated thumb-assisted utility knife. But ooh, it's good. But it's good for eating caviar.
It's good for eating caviar. All right.
You know, you got to just...
You eat so much caviar that you have to have a knife on you full time?
I've never eaten caviar. Maybe once, but it,
all
I
right.
don't even know how you
we got some ground to cover with you because it has been a while.
Cover.
Do you want to start with talking about the Pale Emperor or do you want to start with talking about your friend Mr. Tully on Sons of Anarchy?
You tell me where to go, baby.
Let's talk about Sons because that's over now, and then we'll look ahead toward 2015 and the new record.
Okay.
How did that – I know you've done a lot of acting on and off over the years, but how did it happen that you had such a major role on the season – the series finale, the whole last season of Sons of Anarchy?
Well, it started with my father being a huge fan of the show, and, of course, I was a huge fan of the show. And somehow Kurt Sutter came over – with his kids and their friends to my house and listen to the new album.
Did you have an inflatable pool or something? Why were they coming over?
To listen to
because
the new album?
Because it's pageantry.
Okay, all right.
The Pale Emperor.
All right.
Know? No, he didn't want to. I don't know, remember. I'm not really clear on how. I think it was actually through Shooter Jennings.
Great.
Who's a friend of mine. So Kurt Sutter ended up at my house, and I was telling him how my father loved the show. My mom died on Mother's Day. Thank you, Mom.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, I'm sorry too, but so I thought that the show is so much about that father-son relationship, and I just wanted to do something to make my dad happy, and I just thought I was going to get a song on the show.
Oh, really?
And I ended up having dinner with Katie and Kurt, and ironically, my father, who, if he's listening, ha ha, Dad, my first article as a well, my first. Real cover story when I was 19 in Florida. I did an interview with Katie Sagal.
Oh, really?
And you interviewed her?
Yeah, and I gave it to her as a gift. And she said, oh, do you want to act? And I said, yeah, that would be amazing. And then I went to – that was earlier in the meeting with them. And that's when I was sort of worried about my father because he was also ill. And I was trying to cheer up my dad. This would be before my mother had died. So I went to Ohio – and because my mother died, and I got the phone call that I was going to be on the show. I said, Dad, guess what? I'm going to be on the show. Guess what? I'm going to play the head of the Aryan Brotherhood. Guess what? I get paid for it. Guess what? I'm in every episode that I know of. I'm with Charlie Hunnam. And so it made my dad happy because I have a strange picture of my father riding a Honda with me on the back riding – bitch as it does.
How much did you enjoy as a fan of the show actually getting into being a part of that world? And
I loved it and guys. I hated it.
What do you mean?
Well, spoiler alerts. I knew what was going to happen.
Yeah.
So I would only try to read my part, but it was I walked in and Paris Barclay said, do I need to change my look or anything? And I said, no, you're good. And I said, what are you trying to say?
you're the perfect white supremacist already, Manson.
The Supremes were not white. They were a black singing group. Okay?
Correct. So. They added a few tattoos.
Yeah.
They put you in the prison jumpsuit.
They actually put a bunch of tattoos on me, and then I buttoned up my shirt, and you couldn't see it.
Method, right?
I was really sad because the day that I had to do that juice scene,
which
I said they should have done a marketing tie-in with Capri Sons of Anarchy because I was stabbing the juice box.
Yeah, I'm not positive that would have gone.
No, it would not have gone, but I just thought it was a great idea.
You have all the best ideas. That's, I mean, that. I guess
can't
we're
believe
trying...
it happened on TV.
Yeah.
I'm watching
I know.
I'm watching it.
It's real.
And they made me do it 20 times, and not because I got it wrong, just I think it was, they just
enjoyed watching that happen to juice?
Maybe. I don't know.
That's cool. Now,
we hugged afterwards. That was the most awkward moment.
Does that whet your appetite for more serious acting because that was a real long-term character?
Yes.
Okay.
I enjoyed it. And it added more to the way that this was happening while I was making the album. And it just added to my whole schedule. First of all, being awake during the day, like now.
Yeah.
Which is just awkward.
Yeah. I understand. We We hate to get you out of the crypt to come in, but this is
when we're on.
No,
I'm not so much the crypt keeper anymore.
All right.
But sometimes, you know, it really just depends. You know, obviously I have to sleep for 7 to 8 hours to keep this pageantry in my throat working. But that's
well, you were.
I can adapt to any situation.
You were great on the show, and Mr. Anarchy afterward here will agree with me. I mean, we were intrigued by the casting, and then when we saw you, we thought that's such a great role because it's such a quiet role, but the guy is so powerful, and he's pulling strings, and he's just making things happen. He's just got extreme confidence.
Almost
that's got to be
just
fun to play.
Even say anything, almost.
That's thank you. That's why I kept this for you.
The scruff.
It's a good look.
Well, it was good times. Marilyn Manson is here. It's been a while since we've seen him. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk all about the Pale Emperor. What's that all about? We heard a little bit some time back on Third Day of a 7 Day Binge, but we have some new music to play some of for you also. The new Manson single, which I think is awesome, by the way, and you won't want to miss it. And it's next right after this on K-Rock. Yeah. Musician, singer, actor, artist, Marilyn Manson.
Icon.
In studio with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. The new record will be called The Pale Emperor.
Yes, sir.
Which is coming on January the 20th, 2015. A lot has changed since the last time you put a record out in the world of rock music.
Except my underwear.
Okay.
Didn't need to know that.
Go ahead.
We were talking to, not to drop names, but your old friend Billy Corgan over the weekend, and he seemed depressed and bummed out how difficult it is to make an impact with a new record anymore compared to how it used to be.
I don't feel the same way, but I just saw him and
you guys played together.
Yeah, we did. Actually, he liked my song Third Day of a 7 Day Binge so much that he wanted to do it as an encore. And I did Ava Adore, which was the song where the last time I saw Billy was probably 15 years ago. And he said, "You need to be more musical." When I did Mechanical Animals, I said, "You need to wear more makeup." No, true story.
So you improved each other.
Well, yeah, we had a thing, and it really we had a great friendship, and I think it was severed by some strongly worded letter he said about Rose McGowan at the time, whoever she is. But no, we ran into each other, and it was almost as if no time had passed.
But it's nice to bury those hatchets. There's no reason to carry a grudge.
There was no hatchet.
But I mean, I'm just saying there's no reason to carry a grudge about something somebody said for 20 years.
No,
right?
But no, I never had a grudge. It was No, I didn't. You know, when you're with someone, you sort of have to defend them.
Sure.
That's the way
it's
you do it.
It's a gentlemanly thing to do.
If you're macho.
Yeah.
But I never had a grudge against Billy. I just haven't really.
Did you have the knife back then? Did you have that knife?
I did not have the gold. Thumb assisted.
Sorry.
So why are you more optimistic than he is about unleashing new music into the world? Because it seems like back when you and
I didn't know that he was.
When you and I were growing up, though, it was a big deal when an album came out by a band that you loved, and you got it, and you bought it, and you played it a lot.
Yeah.
And now the music just comes and goes so fast; it's so fleeting. There's always a million other things right behind it, and it seems like nothing really settles like it used to. With very rare exceptions.
I think it's because people empty the bucket of mystery, as I call it, with Instagram and Twitter, and they're just constantly telling you things you don't really need to know. We were growing up, there was none of that. There was not, obviously, there wasn't the internet, but also there was the interest in hearing if you loved the artist or if just even the music affected you, you would listen to it and you didn't think about what they did that day or what relationship they were in or what was going on in their life or what scandal. It was way before celebrity existed, even though in essence Marilyn Manson is a commentary on celebrity with Marilyn Monroe and Charles Manson and all that. It sort of has a way of making itself come full circle, but at the same time I think it evens the playing field. I think it's a better time to put out a new record.
It evens as the playing field, but it makes people who don't have your career almost equal to you. And
if you have the attitude where you think, when I meet people, I don't expect them to know what I did yesterday, let alone 10 years ago. I don't expect people to know. When people started to think that I wrote Sweet Dreams, which I didn't, obviously Dave Stewart did.
Right.
I didn't expect anyone after that.
It's a great version of that.
Why, thank you. I never expected anyone to even remember Beautiful People or Dope Show or anything like that. When I meet someone, I just say hello. They know me, obviously. Probably my greatest hits was Columbine and, you know, just being known,
right?
In a different way.
But you feel like you're starting with scratch with a new audience every time you put out a record, then?
Yeah, I think it's less. It's arrogant to be. I mean, to be arrogant is to be very ignorant in this era. I think you put up music that you think is great for the same reasons you did when you put out your first record,
right?
And without that era of everybody loves to put out their new record and talk about how great it is and how they made a change and how this is their whatever. And I'm aware of that. It's painfully aware of it because of being a journalist prior to this musical endeavor. But this record was simpler for me because I finally figured out what rock and roll was about, the blues, which goes back to Elvis and goes back to Robert Johnson. That's why it has the whole Faustian theme to it.
And you've said this is the first time you've really kind of explored the blues background of rock and roll.
It was the first time going back, we weren't talking about David Lynch, mm-hmm. off there, I Put a Spell on You. It was very much the blues with Screaming Jay Hawkins and CCR. A lot of people done that. And I lived in New Orleans. I lived in Florida. I haven't lived in Mississippi or Kentucky, but I think I covered the general
sure.
You got vicinity the area. Of it. But I never really got the musicality of it, how to play it, and I never got the point of it. It's one person telling a story that everyone can identify with. It's the same chords. It's the same thing. It's just how you say it. So it's almost like Dewey Cox, Walk Hard. You just simply do what everyone else is doing, but you do it looking better, and you do it with confidence, and you do it without. You just own who you are.
Yeah.
You own it.
And there are a lot of people who have done the blues great. You look at the Rolling Stones and Led Zeppelin bands like that who are essentially just blues bands, but they're making it their own, certainly.
Yeah, and I wasn't even trying to, like, there was no point where I said, I'm going to make a blues record.
Gotcha.
I went in the studio with Tyler Bates, which I've always tried to make a record that was cinematic sounding. And via Californication, I met Tyler Bates, who scored the biggest, you know, soundtrack of the year with Guardians of the Galaxy, 300, The Watchmen, many other things. And we just sat down about his, you know, arm, like touch our fingers far away. And he had the guitar and I sat down and started singing and it just happened. And any way I describe it, it's going to sound like a homosexual pornographic film. So I'm not going to go into it seemed to just, there was a connection that was different.
Did you touch penises?
No.
Okay. All right, then you're cool. Then you're fine.
No, I mean, that doesn't necessarily make it a homosexual pornographic film.
Oh, it doesn't?
No one's filming.
Then I misunderstood how homosexual pornographic films work.
There was no camera.
Okay. We're talking to Marilyn Manson here on K-Rock. The new album is called The Pale Emperor, coming out on January 20th. The emphasis in recent years on tracks, streaming tracks, or singles versus a whole album, did that have any impact on how you put the thing together? Or is it still a cohesive statement start to finish like you do sometimes?
No, this one was very concisely a story, and The Pale Emperor comes from a book that was a biography of Antonin Artaud, and I'm saying it in the most American accent I could possibly say because I don't want to sound pretentious, although I can sound redneck. I just want to get the word red tattooed on my neck. A French writer that wrote about Heliogabalus.
You don't have to tell Kevin.
I don't know what you're talking about. Honestly,
it doesn't matter. Okay. It was pre-Caligula.
Okay.
Not the movie. The real thing. It was
okay.
The first Roman emperor. Youngster.
You're going to have to dumb
youngster.
It.
Youngster.
I think you're going to have to dumb it down for me.
I'm dumb it down.
Was it Beavis or was it Butthead?
First guy that denied God and used to cut up the peasants in the middle of the street and have wine poured on it and say, here, drink from it. And he was very pale. They called him Pale Emperor. So I said, well, that sounds pretty appropriate.
We have learned a little something here.
There you go.
That was interesting.
Google it.
Wow. All right. Sorry.
Don't have to now. You're smart, Manson. You know that?
I got a little... A little bit.
I want to hear a little piece of Deep Six. What's the deal on this? This is the new single, right? Just came out this morning, available tomorrow on iTunes.
Yes, this song, the term Deep Six, I think, it is a Navy term in some sense,
mm-hmm.
but it also refers to your garden, for example, my backyard. I had not lived in a house for 4 years or so, I lived in a strange apartment with none of my belongings in it, but I purchased a new home, and it did have an incinerator in the backyard and a garden. No, that I said deep six. It's with a shovel. It's a very – it's an implied threat.
Right. All of Manson's stories, you feel like there's another 1,000 pages yeah. behind it that you want to hear, don't you?
And that's why you're making the song. Yeah. I think that that's the thing about the song. If you explain the song too much,
it
lets the person tell that 1,000 pages.
For if you're like us on the Kevin and Bean Show who complain that there's not enough music that rocks, get a load of this. That sounds great.
Thank you.
Very clean production, too. Crisp.
Okay.
I don't know what he means by that either.
I don't. I'm not really clear
it just sounds. Everything sounds sharp and
when
and
Manson
in focus.
Talks, I'm confused. When Bean talks, yeah. I'm confused.
Well, I have a concussion.
I have a broken toe.
You have a broken toe.
Maybe what if.
We're like, playing hurt here, Kevin.
Sorry.
It could have been related. I did not.
We don't know, man.
You could have. Who knows what happened? But as far as the production, the guy who mixed the record, Robert, he has 4 Latin Grammy Awards. But more importantly, he's an astrophysicist prior to mixing the record.
Well, of course he is. Why wouldn't he be?
Well, why would you not?
And thank God you got the guy with all the Latin Grammys, man. You know what you're doing.
I don't really know what that really applies to.
I don't either.
I didn't know that. But when he said he was an astrophysicist, and we started speaking about things. In a esoteric or whatever sense.
I bet you have the best dinner parties.
Dinner parties?
I bet you do.
I bet you have a dinner table.
I bet you have fat. All right. So
he didn't even have any stuff in his apartment for 4 years.
But I bet the group of people that you bring together for parties or dinners, I bet it is fascinating conversation.
You trying to get into name drop is what
I'm not at all.
Well, you know what I've tried to do is, and you're making me do it because this is a talk show sense.
Yeah.
Is try not to talk as much because I tend to talk too much during dinner parties. But mm-hmm. I have a hard time eating in public because I'm talking too much. Okay. It also keeps me soberish.
Soberish?
Yeah, because I'm talking too much to drink, so I forget.
I need
an IV drip.
It feels so like talk. Sober is a complete word, and ish doesn't really go with sober.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
All right.
No, it does. It's just like Polish, because I'm Polish.
We are out of time.
Different? Manson, we're out of time.
Okay, all right.
The Pale Emperor is your 9th album. Did you ever, before we say goodbye, did you ever imagine you'd have this kind of career? Or did you think, hey, I'll be lucky to ever get a record out, and then I'll probably have to go get a real job?
Wow.
Because you got staying power at this point.
Yeah, I'm very... I have stamina.
Yeah.
I think that there, let's put it simply, this record is sticking to the story, which is very Robert Johnson, Faust, whatever, selling your soul to the devil to become famous as a rock star. I think that there's been a few years where I've been hearing me not answering the door, pay the devil's due. This is my payment, this record. To the fans, to me, to whatever's inside me, to whomever, it's my payback for what maybe I got arrogant enough to think that I did not have to pay back the devil his due, and this is payment checks in the mail.
Well, let me just say, welcome back, my friend.
Thank you.
Great to see you.
Thank you, man. It occurs to me that some people might have just woken up and maybe didn't see or hear about Bean falling off the stage.
Well, maybe we should tell them.
You can go to krock.com and you can see the video. And I know everybody thinks it's funny.
I don't think it's funny. I don't like the video. It's disturbing.
It scared the crap out of me.
Yeah, I don't like when people get hurt for reals and stuff like that. I don't find that very funny, so I didn't think this was funny.
But it looked to me like it was going to be way worse. So I was just happy that he's...
I'm very lucky, you guys.
He's got a bruised tailbone.
He does.
Yeah, I'm very, very lucky that it wasn't much, much worse. Thank you, Ralph. I appreciate the sensitivity which some of the people in this room are handling that. Thank you.
another guy that one of our listeners, Mark, wrote, for the past year, I've been concentrating, intensely focusing really on one thought, make Bean fall off a stage. And although I wish the stage was higher and where he landed more jagged so he would have become a has-been, I'm happy that he fell. Best Mark. So that's other people have other opinions.
Okay. You can see the video at K-Rock.com if you can't stand to watch it. But I will tell you just one thing, Ralph, is that, you know, Kevin believes in karma, and he brings that up all the time. Yeah. How many times have I said, and how many times have you joked, that one day I'm just going to be a brain in a jar? I really could have ended up a brain in the jar after this thing.
Yeah.
I could have been guy who never leaves his house again because he's quadriplegic and just talking into the radio.
How happy would you have been?
Really, I got the internet and I got TV. I don't really need much else.
Yeah, of all people, you would miss it the least.
That's true. That's true. Because walking is for losers, right?
All right. Ariana Grande.
Time for our final showbiz beat for a Monday. Here's Ralph.
It is a Monday, so we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Here's what made what? Exodus, Gods and Kings. In its debut, $24.5 million made it number one. I, for one, was a little surprised it did as well as it did.
Reviews weren't great.
I know that. I just thought, I don't know if people go to see Bible movies anymore, where the biblical action is really a draw anymore. Well, it is for Kirk Cameron and his friends, but other than that.
Yeah.
This looked like it was special effects were amazing, though.
It does look.
And you're right, Ralph. It does come on the heels of Noah and a couple of other films that have kind of attempted this.
That just didn't do that well, right?
Yeah. But the cast is incredible in this thing.
Yeah. That Joel Edgerton, he's a stud.
Ben Kingsley.
Alien, Ripley, Sigourney Weaver, he's in it. The Hunger Games: Mockingjay Part 1 fell to number 2 this weekend with $13.2 million. Penguins of Madagascar, $7.3 million, made that number 3. Top 5, the new Chris Rock movie, debuted with $7.2 million, that made it number 4. Big Hero 6 was 5. Interstellar, Horrible Bosses 2, Dumb and Dumber 2, The Theory of Everything, and Wild, rounding out the top 10 at the box office this weekend.
I'm all right. Just fell off the radio. I'm back.
The Kardashians continue to breed. Kourtney Kardashian and her husband Scott Disick had their third kid this weekend. No word on the baby's name. I think Tragedy should be a good name for the third one. We've got Mason and Penelope and Tragedy. So those three.
What do you think?
Poor kid didn't have a chance.
Which one is this? This is Courtney.
Courtney, at what point do you stop having children with Scott Disick, by the way?
That's a great question.
Before the first?
Right. You don't have the first one. But after the first one, you say, well, he's a drunken douchebag, and he's a layabout and a loser, so I've made one mistake. Shame on me.
Right.
But then you go, he does have a sock line.
So no, that was Rob. Rob Kardashian had the sock line. Okay.
He doesn't even have a sock line.
He doesn't even have that. Even has that.
All right.
I don't think he has a sock drawer. Everyone on a sock line.
Okay.
So you have the second child. They say, well, that was just, I don't know what I was. I got caught up in the throes of passion. You know, I'm going to have my vagina sealed off. I'm going to have a steel plate put in so it never happens again.
Is that how they do it?
Well, or
steel
or you just not have sex with them.
I'm not trying to be gender inappropriate here, but a woman having a third baby with a man that she has to support just rubs me the wrong way. I know that's not fair because
men support women.
Because it goes both ways, but it's just seriously.
Men go out get food.
But you know he's not home taking care of the kids.
So what's he doing? So just impregnating her? That's his only job?
I don't know what he's
doing. He drinks.
Doing.
He goes to Vegas.
Okay, he goes to Vegas. I forgot about that.
He hangs out with Joe Francis. He's got that going for him.
He does have a quality circle of friends. Yeah. I forgot about that.
Maybe he'll make some clean and crisp music.
Hey, that was legitimate. That was a legitimate. It wasn't all muddy and muffled.
Like so much music is today.
It was well
I'm so tired of these
recorded.
Songs.
I was impressed with the production. That's all I'm saying.
I can hear it from the Victrola. Clean and crisp. Like a freshly washed carrot.
That's how I should describe it.
That is how you should describe it. And the Coz is finally speaking out about all these allegations that he supposedly, reportedly, allegedly sexually abused all these women, all these sexual assaults that you white people seem to think that he did. You and the white media, Kevin and Bean.
And he's got a wooden hand, if I remember correctly.
No, Kevin, this is a different guy.
Okay.
Bill Cosby told the New York Post that He only expects, here's his quote, "I only expect the black media to uphold the standards of excellence in journalism. And when you do that, you have to go in with a neutral mind." So he wants to be thought of as innocent until proved guilty, and he believes that the black media will do that for him. However, he doesn't hold out much hope that the white media...
That seems racist.
Will,
it does.
...will give him the same accord.
It does. He's basically saying that the black media sources are better journalists.
Whitey's out to get him.
Yeah, or more fair. Right.
Because they're biased. And as the only black man on the show, I agree with him. I think you guys are.
What?
You're not.
You're not...
You don't know? Yeah. Way back.
Really?
Way back, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
You want to, I can prove it right now.
Nope.
No, sir.
Right.
Good point. Can we play the audio of Rodney trying to introduce No Doubt while Bean was splayed out on the floor?
Well, here's what happened. Yeah, let's set it up. Because this was choreographed. You're not going to believe it when you hear the tape, but we had a plan when we went on stage of how it was supposed to go.
And that plan ended with handing Rodney the microphone, and he brings on No Doubt.
And whose idea was that, by the way?
Mine.
It was Kevin's.
That was your idea.
Kevin's idea.
Absolutely.
You're going to build up to the crescendo of bringing on No Doubt and give it to that guy.
Yes. It's all I cared about.
For
yes.
Why?
Because
you hate No Doubt?
Hilarity.
Awesomeness.
Because you wanted to suck all the air out of the room?
Because it's a microphone in front of 15,000 screaming fans. Of course you give it to Rodney, Ralph.
Yeah, you deserve to fall. Because you were. The first misstep was not off the stage. It was this plan.
Okay, so Rodney starts talking. Bean falls, and then Jed realizes that there's mayhem, so he grabs a microphone. So now Jed and Rodney are talking at the same time.
Yes.
And they're trying to introduce.
And they
No Doubt
apparently can't hear each other at all.
Rodney, what's next, my friend?
Life all throws right, a short. Here we go. What a place here.
There's the fall.
Who fell off the stage?
Jed's reaction.
Anyway,
you know, we have important rock and roll tonight.
This is where it all happens.
Well, please, will you welcome No Doubt?
No Doubt.
It was
what he just said.
It was quite a disaster.
Man. That's the best.
Quite a disaster.
You got Katharine Hepburn and Rodney out there.
And it's going to be a good night here in the forum. I hear the loons. No Doubt. That's what I said, No Doubt.
And he's got a wooden hand, if I remember correctly.
A giant cluster F you all are.
It was a disaster.
Celebrity birthdays today. Adam Brody's 35 years old. Stuart Townsend turns 42. And Don Johnson. Someone wrote me an email and said, I only know Don Johnson as Nash Bridges. And said, you son of a bitch. You are missing out.
Yeah.
He was in Miami freaking Vice, people.
Have you watched that show recently,
Rob?
Oh,
yeah. It does not hold up.
It does not hold up.
It is not good.
That is a crappy show.
I am hard pressed to understand how we all watched it.
I used to love that show.
We watched it every week.
That show blows.
It really does. And so did his music. Here's a little Don singing his hot song. Song is clean and crisp.
Yes, thank
I like
you.
So much of that muddy production you hear these days.
That's a washed
back
carrot.
Then
is what
they
that
knew
is.
How to wash a carrot. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beats.
It hurts when I laugh.
Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show.
That sounds so crisp.
Including, unfortunately, the top 10 moments with which.
Bean, get out!
Right.
I'm right. I'll be right.
I'll be right.
He's milking it now.
I'll be all right.
Santa Carl will be here.
Yeah!
That's the most wonderful time of the year, really boys and girls.
Eric Andre will be in studio. Maybe one of the craziest people in the world. Love him. And Seth Rogen will be here talking about The Interview. So that's tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean.